Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. AM 1320, KCTC, Sacramento's left channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush speaks to the nation tomorrow night to unveil his new Iraq strategy. Today, Senator Ted Kennedy proposed legislation to try to prevent any surge of troops.
It requires the president to obtain approval from Congress before he sends even more American soldiers to Iraq.
I'm Mark Knoller, live at the White House. For the president, it's been a day spent practicing and polishing his address to the nation and previewing his new strategy on Iraq for key members of Congress and foreign leaders. It includes a call for 20,000 additional troops to secure Baghdad and Anbar province. And that's, his military historian Fred Kagan, will take a while.
In order to do that, we will have to be able to maintain this surge for a period of about 18 to 24 months.
Mr. Bush discussed his plan with the prime ministers of Britain, Australia, and Denmark, each of which has combat troops in Iraq. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller, CBS News.
Wildfire racing through Malibu, California has destroyed several exclusive homes, among them Suzanne Summers' multimillion-dollar house. She was not home at the time.
We have ascertained that the total number of residences totally destroyed is 5. The number of residences sustaining damage is 6.
County Fire Chief Michael Freeman said the neighborhood looks like a war zone. The Baseball Hall of Fame will be inducting two more greats, Tony Gwynn of the Padres and Cal Ripken of the Orioles.
I loved playing every minute of being a ball player. I had a dream a long time ago of being a ball player. So in many ways, it's just a continuation and a celebration of that dream that I was able to live.
A moderate earthquake rolled across southeast Alaska this morning. 5.7 on the scale did little damage, but was felt from Juneau to Sitka. Some people saying it rattled windows and shook some folks right out of bed. For texters, a big day at Macworld. Apple unveiled a new computer-to-TV box and its much-anticipated iPhone.
Apple's goal was to create not only a good music player and video player, but a good phone. And they claim that they've made the phone much easier to use. So if that's the case, that could be not a breakthrough, but a very interesting development.
CBS News technology consultant Larry Magid, the Apple iPhone cost about $500. Mr. Blackwell's out with his worst-dressed list. Tops, who he calls the Scream Girls, Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. Two peas, he says, in an overexposed pod. Whitney Houston has a lot of stuff of her life on the auction block starting today. 400 lots of Whitney are up for sale, ranging from speakers and amps and other concert gear to water-damaged vinyl records and costume pieces. She's raising money for her post-Bobby Brown life. On Wall Street, the Dow lost near 7 points to close at 12,416. The Nasdaq gained more than 5.5. This is CBS News.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot! time to get in shape and look good doing it. At Kohl's January Savings Sale starting Wednesday, you'll find great savings on stylish workout wear and casual apparel, like 40 to 50% off Mrs. Active and fitness wear, and 30 to 50% off athletic shoes for the entire family. And if you're shaping up for a whole new look, come save on our entire stock of denim jeans. There's something for everyone. Jumpstart your new year at Kohl's January Savings Sale starting this Wednesday. Kohl's, expect great things.
Generation Next looks more like the 70s politically than the 90s.
18 to 25-year-olds, Generation Next, lean more Democratic and show more tolerance than the previous young adult group, Generation X. The Pew Research Center finds 48% of Next leaning Democratic, only 35% Republican. Nearly half favor allowing same-sex marriage, compared to only 30% of Gen X. There is concern among this group that casual sex, binge drinking, illegal drugs, and violence are more prevalent now among young people.
And CBS's John Hartshead on the latest Pew Research Center survey. Barbaro, the racehorse, is mending still. His shattered right hind leg is doing pretty well. It's the left hind leg, the one with laminitis, that's coming back so slowly. He's wearing a cast on it now to help the bone realign. Laminitis causes the bones and the ligaments surrounding the hoof to sort of fall apart. But Barbaro has proven he's tough. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours. I am with you. We are betrothed between 3 and 7 right here on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And I have some things to announce, some surprise developments. First of all, we are going to be covering, we're taking the governor's State of the State speech live at 5 o'clock, complete with my commentary as he's speaking. And we are going to be taking the president's surge speech live tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So the governor's State of the State address at 5 o'clock today, the president's plea for 20,000 more troops to Iraq tomorrow night at 6. We will take both of those live, both with my incomparable commentary underneath it, but you'll still be able to hear what they have to say in case it's worth listening to. We should have an advance copy of the governor's speech around 4 o'clock. There are some highlights I can share with you from the Los Angeles Times. And in our 4 o'clock hour today, it is couldn't be more appropriate to have State Senator Sheila Kuehl, you remember her from Dobie Gillis, where she played Zelda, who was really brainy. She will be with us at 4 o'clock, in the 4 o'clock hour, because she is the author of Senate Bill 840, the one that advocates the single-payer universal health care system that would so make things much easier than Arnold's system. Now, here's where I want to begin today, and let me, before I do, let me do all the housekeeping. So. If you and I want to converse today, we can do it in a variety of ways. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. No matter where you are on this earth, you can listen to Enid Live and AM 1320 and Scott and Sims and The Morning Retort and all of us by clicking on 1320leftchannel.com. One word with numbers, 1320leftchannel.com. So that as you are doing whatever you're doing during the day, if you are working, if you're at your desk, if you are moving from room to room, we can keep each other company. And we love it best of all when you call. It makes for one very rich, very vibrant, and very telling conversation that we conduct daily right here from 3 to 7 on AM 1320. And sometimes the responses to things are just amazing. They are not predictable. our responses, your responses. And here is one of the places. You know, Arnold talks a lot about bipartisanship, but I'm going to tell you something. One of the places where we get conservatives and progressives together is right here, amazingly enough, on Enid Live. We know that we have a pretty large conservative and Republican audience, and we also know that we have a pretty large progressive audience. And here's the place where we make nice and where we slug it out and where we have a lot to say to each other, and this is the place where you can say it. So the more of you who call in, the better the conversation is. And let me tell you, most of you have never called in. You wouldn't dream of doing it, but I'm urging you to do it because we'd love hearing your ideas, and it doesn't cost you a penny at all to call. It's toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320, and if you're not, it's 866-626-1320. So, that said, I want to start with something that we were talking about yesterday, and I do want to touch on Ted Kennedy's really impassioned speech about the surge and not sending any more people to Iraq. And also, here is what I've been hearing. You know, we talk about the power of the purse and for the Democrats to withhold the funding for going to Iraq, but there are various so-called authorities who say it's really not possible because the way the funding is set up, you really can't do it, and then the Democrats look like they're leaving everybody out to dry. But that aside, that somehow there isn't sufficient specificity in the monies that are being requested for the Democrats to keep those monies from going to finance more people, more troops in Iraq. So that's what we're hearing. You know, we'll find out as the conversation clarifies a number of issues. In all the papers today, there, whether it was the Wall Street Journal, whether it was the New York Times, whether it was the Los Angeles Times, whatever it was, all the national, anything with a national focus, they were all focusing on Schwarzenegger's health care proposal for the state of California, and partly because California is such a bellwether. But the more I think about his health care proposal, the more unnerving I really find it. And let me just share with you what the Los Angeles Times has to say. In their editorial, the San Francisco Chronicle's editorial on the health care, on Schwarzenegger's health care, is, you know, kind of cheerleaderish. But the Los Angeles Times says it all in the headline, a flawed cure. The governor's health care plan does not sever the link between employment and insurance. The devil, as they say, is in the details, and that cliche was repeatedly thrown back and forth across Sacramento on Monday as lawmakers, business groups, doctors, and consumer advocates studied Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's sweeping proposal to change the way health care is bought and sold in California. They go on to say that, make no mistake, this is a tax. Now, if it is a tax, if governor is saying it's a fee, but it's really a tax, and if it's a tax, it's going to require a two-thirds vote for passage. The governor, who vowed not to increase taxes, contends that the money raised from employers, doctors, and other stakeholders to pay for the sweeping health care plan he introduced Monday is technically not a tax, which would require a two-thirds vote for passage. But Schwarzenegger's fellow Republicans in the legislature, his allies at the California Chamber of Commerce, and doctors maintain that it is a tax. The dictionary agrees with them. A compulsory payment, usually a percentage, levied on income, property values, sales price, etc., for the support of government, and this is according to Webster's. So, it is a tax, even though all of you Republicans listening thought that you should not vote for Phil Angelides because, God forbid, he might raise your taxes by a couple of bucks. But the minute Arnold got into office, he's raising your taxes, but he's not calling it a tax increase. He's calling it a fee. But make no mistake, says the Los Angeles Times, it is a tax. Employers currently have the option of offering health insurance to entice workers, but they are not required to do so. Under Schwarzenegger's proposal, every business with 10 or more employees that does not offer workers' health insurance would have to pay 4% of its payroll into a state fund. So if that's not a tax, I don't know what's a tax. And like most employer taxes, workers ultimately will pay it in the form of lower wages or lost jobs. Now, the other thing that we haven't talked about is to what extent is this a giveaway to the insurance companies? True, according to the initial plan, the insurance companies cannot have to use 85% of the premiums that you pay them for health care costs. They cannot use that money for profits, and they cannot use that money for administrative costs. It has to be for health care. But I don't know that there's any limit to what they can charge. They can't refuse you as they once did. So what they'll do is they'll charge the earth. This is a real windfall for the insurance companies, who are huge backers of Arnold. Now, I wonder how you feel about this. I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and I am astonished. Well, first of all, he's kind of on the right-wing side, although he calls himself a neocon. That's number one. Number two, he doesn't have health insurance. And he doesn't have it because I think it's too expensive. We haven't ever discussed that, but I think that's what it is. I think it's pricey for him, and he's going to run the rails on this one, and he's going to take a risk that he is okay and remains okay. So I said, because I thought he would be a perfect person to love 840, SB 840, I said, you know, you're somebody, and he's somebody who's self-employed. And I said, you know, you're somebody that SB 840 was made for. This is great. You know, you would take a load off of everybody's shoulders, yours included, to know that if anything happened, you would be covered for any basic. And he went into this long tirade about what a bad idea it was, how horrible it is. You can't get the surgery you want in places like Canada. I said, it's elective surgery. You can, if it's emergency surgery, you will get it. And that I think I heard Sheila Kuehl say that in surveys they've done, 98% of Canadians are very pleased with the system. And then I went on to say that in this country, it costs twice as much to insure people per person as it does in France, which has is reported to have an excellent medical care system. It costs twice as much as it does in Australia or in Canada. And our infant mortality rate is quite a bit lower than in those countries, and our life expectancy is our infant mortality rate is quite a bit higher than in those countries, and our life expectancy, even though we spend way more on insurance, and medical care is quite a bit lower. And England is about a third what we pay, and I think they have higher life expectancy and lower infant mortality rates than we do. He wasn't interested. Thinks it's a bad idea, government intrusion. Since when did the government ever do anything that was right? I said, well, they're running a wonderful system in the VA. It was a mess a few years back, but during the Clinton administration, it got cleaned up, it got modernized, and it's now held up as a real model system. Plus, they can negotiate with the drug companies for volume discounts. And because their record keeping is so good, they track you if you're in the VA system. And so, therefore, there isn't the redundancy. It isn't that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. They have very careful records. It has been reported. And I said another really good system is Medicare. Medicare is a very good system, as far as I am aware. And Social Security is another very good system. So if you've ever had loved ones on Medicare or loved ones on Social Security, those are wonderful systems that work very well. And nobody is talking about how well the private insurance aspect really works. So if you are taken sick and you think you're insured because you are self-employed and because you've been paying your premiums, you could be cut loose. And the Los Angeles Times has done story after story of people current on their premiums, thought they had coverage. The minute they try to invoke that coverage, they are cut loose by their insurers for the most specious of issues. One woman had a benign cyst. No problem at all. They cut her loose. Somebody else I told you about, jock itch, cut them loose. If you have a hangnail, they will cut you loose. And if you're lucky to have insurance through your employer, what can happen is if you don't read the fine print, you can see that you have huge deductibles. You don't always know if something's going to be out of network or in network. You think it's in network, but it turns out that some parts of it are out of network. And I think the example I've given, and I got an email on this, a common occurring issue that most people are not aware of, you go to have some surgery, Your hospital is an in-network hospital. Your surgeon, your doctors, all in-network doctors. You get approval from the insurance company. You're golden. You have the surgery. And then you start getting big bills from these doctors, and you don't know who they are. And they are not in-network, and the bills are big, and plus the reimbursement is small. Turns out that they are the anesthetologists. They are the radiologists who have helped in your surgery. And you thought the whole operation was in-network? Well, you have another thing coming. So you come out of your surgery, and then you have these big bills that your insurance only reimburses quite partially. So these are some of the issues, but the Los Angeles Times is saying this is a flawed cure, that the bulk of the brunt of it is going to be borne by employers, and that this is a tax. And it is a tax on employers, and it's a tax on healthcare providers, and it's a tax. And if it is a tax, then it's going to require two-thirds passage for a vote. And Schwartzy said he wasn't going to raise our taxes. So here is the Los Angeles Times covering it, New York Times covering, the Wall Street Journal covering it, big, splashy front-page stories. And why? Because California is a bellwether, and lots of other states are beginning to discuss the issue. Some have taken steps farther than California's, but when California starts to put its big imprint on social issues, it is a bellwether, and lots of other states follow in our footsteps. So, what are your thoughts about this? Is this a tax? If you're a Republican, are you happy about this? If you already have your health care, what do you care about other people? You probably don't. But I think we have to care about everybody, because we are paying for people, whether they are, particularly if they're uninsured. They're going to the ER, and that is the most expensive kind of treatment you can have. And who do you think is picking up the tab for it? You are picking it up, and I am picking it up. We are all paying for that. And we are paying for the people who don't have the insurance, who are carriers of communicable diseases. So the issue of whether you're legal or you're not legal should not be factored into a public health equation. But the Los Angeles Times is saying this is a flawed system. I'm saying, look at the windfall the insurance companies are going to get. Are there any limits as to what they can charge you? They're going to have all these new customers. They're going to feel like they ought to be able to charge more because they can't exclude you the way they once could. So they're really going to step on the gas. I mean, I think it's probably going to be a mess. But I think if you look at Sheila Kuehl's system, and I cannot wait to talk to her about this, I think you'll find it far more elegant in its simplicity, far more direct, and you will probably have questions for her, and this will be the place to ask them when she joins us in our 4 o'clock hour. But right now, we're talking about this flawed system. It's a tax. A lot of people feel that the governor is imposing 5 seconds after he's been sworn in on his own hobble, on his own crutches. 349-1320. Does he have a leg to stand on here? 866-626-1320. Is it a tax? A lot of people think it is. Is it burdening employers unduly? A lot of people think that's the case. Will the insurers make out like bandits on this? A lot of people think they will. How is this going to benefit all of us? And then the governor, in his Terminator voice, he said, you know what? You will have insured. Everybody's going to have to be insured. Well, how are you going to do it if you're barely getting by? How will you be able to manage that? 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have a Watt Avenue and eastbound I-80, a two-car crash over there. It looks like it's slowing things down. Madison Avenue at College Oak, Twin Cities Road at Clay Station Road, and Richards Boulevard on Route 2 southbound I-5. We've got a couple of incidences over there. Hit and runs at Howe Avenue and at Wide Away, Main Avenue at Madison Avenue. We have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more
are cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me.
You and me is that
tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. In the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by State Senator Sheila Kuehl. I can't imagine a more appropriate guest at a more appropriate time to talk about SB 840, her health care bill that would be single-payer, universal health care, why it would be superior, which I think it would, but let her tell us why she thinks it would be superior to anything that Arnold is offering us. And also, in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be carrying Arnold's State of the State speech. The doctors have told him he should only fly no more than once a week. He delivered his health care proposals from Los Angeles yesterday, but is flying in to deliver his State of the State speech here in Sacramento today. So that happens at 5 o'clock. We will bring it to you live. And tomorrow, the president is going to grovel before us all. Listen to how the points he's going to try and make to get everybody to sign on to this troop escalation that he's trying to float. And in today's USA Today Gallup poll, the majority of us are against escalation. 61% say forget it, no surge and no thanks. On the eve of a major speech by Dickey in which he's expected to announce an escalation of reportedly 20,000 to 30,000 troops to be sent to Iraq, a new poll finds that a majority of the U.S. are against this so-called surge. According to the USA Today Gallup poll, the American public opposes Bush's expected plan by 61% to 31%, with the president's support primarily within his GOP base. I can't even believe that 31% are going for this. So what are your thoughts about that? And Ted Kennedy gave an impassioned speech, but it turns out, you know, when we're sitting around saying we're going to try to restrict the monies, Congress will have oversight, and we're just going to use the power of the purse here so that this madman who is our president and incompetent in every way, will not be able to finance sending 20,000 more troops to Iraq. it turns out that Congress might not be able to do it, that these requests for supplementals and so on are written so vaguely that we're never sure what they are supposed to be for, what they're intended for. At least that's one point of view. I really don't know. But we'll find out as the discussion moves along. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What we're talking about is Arnold Schwarzenegger's plan for universal health care. And the headline for it, I think, says it all in the New York Times today. Health plan in California could set the stage for a national debate. So as we go in California, so goes the rest of the country very often. And I think that this is a health care proposal with a lot of problems. First of all, he's saying that these are fees, they're not taxes. Everybody else said these are taxes. So the governor that told you he was not going to raise your taxes is raising your taxes, number one. Number two, if it is a tax and not a fee, then it requires a two-thirds vote for passage. And so that might not be so easy. Number three, it is also, I think, a windfall for the insurance companies because they're going to get all these new policyholders, and because they won't be able to exclude you as easily as before, they're going to feel justified in raising the rates as high as they probably want to. So I don't know that there's a ceiling on what they can do. I mean, I just think, and employers are going to have to bear the brunt of this of insuring everybody. It should be more simple than that. We should constitute the insurance pool, and we should be self-insured. Now, how you reconcile that with these big, rich insurance companies who do not want to be put out of business is the question, because they will stop at nothing to keep themselves going. And we saw that when the Clintons tried health care reform. So I wonder what you think about all this. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If you're in the health care business, if you're a medical provider, if you're in the insurance industry, if you're a small business owner, what effect will any of this have on your life? Donna in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Okay, if he's going to give us Medi-Cal to cover this, the Federal Social Security Act requires that the states recover what you've spent on Medi-Cal if you're over 55. Now, what that means is when you die, they take your house. Now, I personally am not willing to give them my house to get medical care.
Wait. I'm not following you. Tell me what your point is. I'm losing you.
My point is, he's going to force us to take this. I'm eligible for Medi-Cal, but I don't take it because I'm not willing to give them my house when I die. I want my daughter to get it.
What do you have to do to be eligible for Medi-Cal?
You have to be poor. You have to be low income.
Okay.
And there's a federal, part of Medi-Cal is covered by the federal government. And they require that when you die, they take your property up to all you've spent on Medi-Cal.
Okay.
And most people don't know this. They find out about it when their parent dies and they go to get the house, and they don't get it because Medi-Cal gets it. And that's okay, because right now you can say, okay, I don't want Medi-Cal during my life.
Are you in relatively good health, Donna?
I'm okay. Well, whatever.
Okay.
I'm old, so, you know.
Well, you're not that old.
I'm 64.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't
In a couple of years, won't you be eligible for, or a year or so, won't you be eligible for Medicare?
Medicare I can't afford. Medicare is very expensive unless you take the Medi-Cal, which makes up the difference.
I thought Medicare was pretty inexpensive. Am I misinformed about that? I thought Medicare, unless you do a supplemental, isn't Medicare pretty doable for most?
No. Medicare and all the parts together, I mean, if you have Medicare, you have to pay a percentage on Part A. You have to pay a percentage on Part B.
What do you think it would cost you to have Medicare per month?
$300-$400 a month. I can't afford it. And that's...
I didn't know it was expensive. I thought it was quite a bit less expensive. I thought it was like maybe $100 or something. I guess I'm really out of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's free. They take $90-some out every month just for Part A. That's just hospitalization. If you should need a doctor while you're in the hospital, you have to pay more. And you have to sign up for an HMO, and you have to pay them so much. If you get medicine, you have to pay a percent of that. It's very expensive. But for the poor, it's all covered by Medi-Cal. However, if you own something like a house, which you're allowed to own, But when you die, they take out what you spent after age 55.
So they sell the house, and then whatever you owe them, they deduct that, and then the rest goes to your estate.
Exactly. And right now we can refuse that so that your kids get the house. But it looks like Schwarzenegger is going to force everyone to sign it. He says everyone has to have it. So, in other words, they're saying they have to get my
they're
house.
Saying that, well, I didn't think about that. They're saying that if you can't afford it, the state will help you, but the state apparently wants to have its fingers on your house.
Right. They tout this Medicaid program as being free, but it is not. If you don't own anything, it is free. But if you have a house, they get it.
How long have you had your house, Donna?
8 years.
8 years. And you were able to do the house, but things changed, and now you were not able to do insurance?
Right. I'm disabled now. I cannot work. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I don't see how they can force me to give up my house.
Well, you know, these are interesting issues. See, this is what's great about talking to everybody, because
yeah.
There are things, you know, they make these great sweeping plans, but they don't, you know, for people who have issues like you do, it's a whole other, it brings up a whole other set of considerations. Well, thank you for calling, and we hope you're feeling better.
Thank you, ma'am.
And let's see how people respond to what you have had to say. Thanks very much, Donna.
Very well. Bye.
Bye. 349-1320, 866-620. 1320. You are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. And let me ask you, what do you think about what Donna had to say? I mean, you know, here's what Arnold is saying. Well, everybody's going to be insured, and if you can't afford it, the state's going to help you. Now, somebody called in and said she's 87 years old, and she pays $100 a month for Medicare. Now, it was my understanding that it's not that you don't have to pay all that much for Medicare. Now, I don't know. I hope to reach that august age. If I'm lucky, I'll be a geezerette. Probably already am one. So I don't know about any of that stuff. But those of you who know something about it, I'd like to hear from you. And what about what Donna says, that if you are eligible for Medi-Cal, for example, they'll take your house, they'll let you live in it during your lifetime, and you'd like to leave it to your daughter, for example, or your son or somebody in the family. But if you owe Medi-Cal money, they'll sell it and take what the money is and deduct it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Amir in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Amir.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I hope Arnold Schwarzenegger gets the same deal that Gray Davis did, because, you know, I don't think that California's going to stand for it, and I hope that we recall him, and I'm pretty sure it sounds like that's the kind of bill that would do it.
You do think so? All right. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. We have one line open. Charlie in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Hi, Charlie. Welcome.
Yes. I may be controversial, but that's what this is all about. The issue about the losing of the house.
Yes.
Well, to a certain extent, I have the opinion that if I own a house and I can't pay my medical bills, and the state pays my medical bills, then if the state is the taxpayers, then they should be able to recoup what's left of the house. For example, I don't believe that the children of my own should just get my house and then the state pays my medical bills. Does that come
Yeah,
across?
No, I see what you're saying. I see exactly what you're saying.
In other words, I accept the aspect that if I have a house, that will be my security blanket to take care of my medical
Maybe she should sell her house to her children, and they provide her with the funds so that she can live or rent, and then they get the house because they bought it, and she has a place to live.
Exactly. In other words, the idea of just you pay all my bills, Mr. State, and I'm going to give all my property to my children. Well, that doesn't seem fair to me either.
Charlie, you make an excellent point. I thank you for doing it. 349-1320. We have one line open. Joe and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hello? Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Okay, I can barely hear you, dear. Listen, Charlie needs to hope he never gets sick. That's all I got to say.
Why?
Well, because, you know, my mother now, I take care of her. She's 88. She was on Medicare. And when they changed that Part D thing over, what they did was they quit paying most of her medical to make up the difference to pay for people who didn't have anything.
Okay, so...
Then what happens is we're doing in-home support services, so now she's on Medi-Cal. And you do, you have to sign a paper saying that you're going to give them their money back first.
But, so does that mean that you won't inherit the house, Joe?
Well, yeah, definitely that. But, you know, it's a good way.
Now, is that fair or not fair? Now, Charlie says, look, if we're paying for your medical care, why do you think that you can skirt it and leave the house to your kids? That's what he's saying.
Yes.
And he's got a good point there. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think he's wrong.
Why?
Because when she uses her regular medical, because my mom worked her whole life, got a retirement, had the health net, all that stuff. But when she really got sick, nobody wants to cover nothing. So she's actually like one of the working poor. Even though she paid for all this during her life and paid for her premiums during her life for her medical and had the Medicare, as soon as she got really disabled, the law changed, nobody pays for nothing, and now she's on Medicare.
All right, so how do you feel about a single-payer universal health care system where everybody's covered?
I think everybody should be covered.
I agree with you.
And I think there's nothing wrong with us paying a little more tax money, all of us. Pay a little more tax money and have everybody...
Let me tell you, I think it's going to wind up being less expensive when all is said and done because we have a redundant, bloated system right now that doesn't deliver as much as it ought to. And the minute that I think something like SB 840 becomes law, if it ever does, one of the reports I saw is that you instantly save something like $8 billion because it's a more efficient system. Now, the major insurers are never going to let this happen. So it has to come from we the people, and we have to not be scared by the major insurers who will try to terrorize us with the idea that we'll have terrible health care system. It can't get a whole lot worse than it already is, I think.
Well, and we have to realize in the real world, things need to get paid and things need to get cared for. And we better just start paying it now because we're all going to reach that point.
Well, the ER, when people who don't have insurance, the most expensive way you can get treated, and we will pay the bill, is to go to the ER for what is essentially primary care treatment. Joe, I thank you very much for calling. 349-1320, Linda in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to respond to the lady with Medi-Cal in her house. I experienced this myself. When my mother became aged and ill, what happened with her is that she gifted the house to me. I had to have it gifted to me so many years prior to her needing Medi-Cal. So once the house was gifted to me, I was able to collect Medi-Cal for her health care, for nursing home care that she needed, and I did not have to give up my house because she had no assets.
Okay, so her one asset, which was the house, had been gifted to you how many years prior?
I'm going to say it was probably at least 8 years prior.
But they have a rule, so people don't distribute their assets and you know, spend them down in order to collect from the state. Is that it?
No, she didn't spend down anything.
No, but I'm saying that there is a rule. There must be a rule that you can't do it 5 minutes before you need it so that you're spending down your assets. Okay.
Right now, I believe it's 5 years.
All right, let me ask you a question because Charlie brought it up when he called. Is it fair? Is it fair that we pay your medical care and you don't pay us back if you've got the means to do it? Instead, you gift the house, you know, you do these end runs to your kids so that so that the assets stay in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do think it's fair because my parents both worked and paid taxes and paid into welfare and Medi-Cal and Medicare when they worked, and now it's their turn to reap the benefits of those benefits.
So you think it is fair. All right, Linda, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. And Mary in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mary.
Hi, are you there?
I am. Welcome.
Okay, I'm not getting a very good feedback. I disagreed with Donna, and I disagree with you a little bit. Donna, with the idea that Medicare costs, if you get an HMO, we have Kaiser, and we pay about $79 a month. Now, that's true, Medicare withholds from your Social Security $90 a month, approximately, to help pay for it. But they've been doing that right from the beginning. It goes up a little bit, went up a little bit this year. So I think you can get pretty good coverage from most HMOs. So I think Donna, thinking that she's not going to be able to do it, she's on disability right now. Somebody's paying her disability. And Charlie's right, the idea that she doesn't have to, nobody should pay back the state. So everybody's finagling, you know, to try to get their parents' homes or whatever they have before they
need medical care.
Yeah, so to pay back what, you know.
So do you think that that's fair or not fair, Mary?
I think that it's fair. I think the problem is medical care has gone so extremely high. I raised 5 children without having any insurance. I took them to the pediatrician. They had all their shots.
But that was a different time and place. It was
different,
and it was less expensive. And
that's what I'm saying. It was only 30, 40 years ago. We're talking in the 70s now. That sounds like a long time ago. But it really wasn't that long ago that medical care was affordable.
It was very affordable, and today it's gone through the roof. Mary, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time in this segment. I thank you very much for the call. Everybody who's interested in this issue, you have to stay tuned for Sheila Kuehl, who will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour, because I think if you have questions and if you want to hear the way I think it ought to be done, you'll want to hear what she has to say. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we might see a little bit of snow. 27% chance of snow coming up on Thursday. Lows tonight, 37. Highs coming up, 55 and 49 on Thursday, actually. We're at 60 degrees here in Sacramento. Traffic southbound 99, a little slow there due to a two-car crash on the right-hand side just past Fruit Ridge Road. Main Avenue and Madison Avenue. Green Valley Road at Browns. Green Valley Road at Mormon Island as well. Now, that little section, there's a 2- and 3-car crash stopping traffic down. You might want to take a different route. Also, Watt Avenue at eastbound I-80. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Sweet joke.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Ooh, sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, so folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities.
facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Yo, mic check, mic check. Yeah, here you go. Oh, nah, he over
talk
here.
To Enid now, 349-1320.
It's called Switch. Let's get it going.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, and here's the schedule for today. 4 o'clock, in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by State Senator Sheila Kuehl. If you were a Dobie Gillis watcher, you'll remember her as being Zelda. But Zelda went to Harvard Law School and earned quite a number of high honors. And among her accomplishments, I think, is SB 840, Senate Bill 840, is all about universal single-payer health care. It passed both houses of the legislature, and Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed this bill. This bill would have saved the state of California about $8 billion, I recall reading at the time. So any questions you have about, if you have any reservations about single-payer, if you have any questions, how would this work? How would this be an improvement? How is this a plus over what Arnold is trying to float to the media and to the state of California? Now is the time to listen and to find out. And she joins us at the 4 o'clock hour. And 5 o'clock, we are going to carry Arnold's State of the State address live right here with my impeccable commentary. Well, a little bit. Anyway, you'll hear it here. And instead of hurling a shoe at the radio or the television set or having a heated conversation with your pet, you can call us and we can discuss what Arnold had to say and pick it apart and see it for what it really is. I have an advance copy, and at about 4 o'clock I'll be getting an advance copy. They tell me, his press office tells me, of the speech. So the Los Angeles Times is already talking about a sweeping agenda expected in the State of the State, and they have an advance copy. So I'll share some of that with you as we continue. Let's go right now to the phone, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We've had a number of you calling in to say you can't afford insurance, but if you get Medi-Cal and you have a house, you won't be able to pass it on to your kids. They will deduct, they will sell it, they will take whatever in insurance you have cost the system, and then if there's anything left, that will go to your beneficiary. Some of you think that's a good thing to do to finagle the system. Others of you think it's not fair, that if we've paid for your health care system, then if you have assets, you need to pay us back. What are your thoughts about that? And Arnold wants to impose what's essentially a tax on employers, but he's not calling it a tax. And if it is a tax, it will require a two-third majority to pass. Patricia in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Enid. I'll make this quick before my kids start screaming. sorry. But, the soaring cost of health care, and I don't know, I'm not an expert in this field, and, you know, none of us really are, but it has a lot to do with, if you have, I believe in capitalism, you know, do not let the government sell shoes or clothes. But when it comes to health care, as long as we have these insurance companies running the health care system, you're not going to see, a waving out of costs. You know, you have marketing, you have remember the profits? I forgot that one gentleman. He made like, $28 million.
The guy who walked out of United Healthcare, I think, walked out with $1 billion, if not more. He walked out. He's head of United Healthcare, and all, think of all the times that healthcare insurer said no to people who needed. You know, here you are, you're half dead, and you need some kind of a life saving procedure, or then they say we're not going to cover it. It's experimental. You don't have the money. It's a death sentence.
Now, so Arnold's basically just passing the cost over to the employer now. So, you know what I mean? He's not really resolving the problem.
No, he's not resolving. It's just a lot of sleight of hand is what it is.
Yes, correct.
And not only passing the cost down to the employer, but he's trying to gouge the doctors. And I think we're going to get gouged from it's going to be a windfall for the insurance companies.
Yes, correct. I'm right on with you there.
Thank you.
Patricia, thanks very much. But you know what? California being the bellwether, everybody's looking to see what happens when we engage in the dialogue about health care. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Traffic a little slow. We've got southbound 99. Southbound I-5 just past J Street. It's a little slow over there as well. It looks like a two-car crash. Main Avenue and Madison Avenue, eastbound 50 at 23rd. Eastbound 50 just north of I-5, and there's a two-car crash there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm what you've all been waiting for, the world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's the most...
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320. Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
7 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. That sounds like we're at the dentist, which I couldn't be more apropos because we're talking about health care coverage, and we're talking about whether it's fair if Medi-Cal pays for your coverage. Is it fair for them to take your house in payment, or should you be able to game the system and finagle it away and gift it to your kids? What is fair? And what the papers are calling Arnold Schwarzenegger's bold plan for California, I think is not so bold. I think it's a lot of sleight of hand. I think it's a lot of passing the buck I suppose he can make the case that everybody's going to have to pay their fair share, but it looks like a tax on small business.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
A proposal to block a troop buildup.
Iraq is George Bush's Vietnam.
Mark McGuire is snubbed in Hall of Fame voting.
I personally thought he'd get at least 40%, and he's nowhere close to that at 23.5%.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. This might be what a surge would look like. Today, U.S. forces joined Iraqi troops in an assault on what are described as terrorist hideouts around Haifa Street in the heart of Baghdad. Some 50 people were killed.
The battles began early in the morning and continued through the call to prayer and well into the night. U.S. and Iraqi soldiers backed by American warplanes and helicopters circling overhead. They were targeting insurgents and apparently some foreign fighters who have attacked Iraqi security forces. Haifa Street sits very close to Baghdad's fortified Green Zone, but it's also considered one of the most dangerous thoroughfares. An Iraqi government official said, God willing, Haifa Street will never threaten the Iraqi people again. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Baghdad.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democrats are making clear they will not stand still if President Bush moves ahead with a plan to send more troops to Iraq. Senator Edward Kennedy doesn't even want to wait, saying Congress should act now to stop more troops from going to a war the American people clearly oppose.
Whether it is called a surge or any other name is still an escalation. And I believe it would be an immense new mistake.
Calling Iraq President Bush's Vietnam, Kennedy is proposing legislation to stop him from sending more troops, though it is unclear if that could pass or be enforced. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As the president finalizes his speech tomorrow evening, he spoke by phone today with the leaders of Britain, Australia, and Denmark, countries that have troops in Iraq. Reuters quotes a defense official as saying the strategy envisions Iraqi forces taking control of all of their country's provinces by November. Now this.
Whoa,
office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Oh, Office Depot!
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep, I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame today, Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken Jr.
There was a certain sense of excitement, and it's a euphoric feeling. It's a great feeling. It's a sense of contentment all wrapped up in one, but there was also a little sense of relief.
But there's no euphoria or contentment for slugger Mark McGwire, who refused to answer questions about steroid use at a congressional hearing. He got less than 24% of the votes cast by the Baseball Writers Association, and Bill Madden of the New York Daily News thinks McGwire's a lost cause.
He's probably never going to get elected to the Hall of Fame because that's an awful lot of percentage to catch up even in 15 years.
This is McGwire's first year of eligibility. The price of oil fell to $55.64 a barrel today. That's an 18-month low. And gasoline prices will be coming down, says energy analyst Peter Butel.
Leaving a little room for the normal wiggle and jiggle of the gasoline market, I'm going to say that sometime in the next 10 days or 2 weeks, most people should have seen a 20-cent decline at the pump.
He says wholesale prices have come down 26 cents since mid-December. Apple's annual Macworld conference in San Francisco stole the thunder from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas today. CBS News correspondent John Blackstone reports Apple unveiled an iPod mobile phone that plays music and video.
The cell phone only has a big screen. It has no buttons on it. You can download contact lists from your computer. That's how you largely dial the phone, is just by tapping a contact. You can email pictures from it. It's a Wi-Fi compatible cell phone. Apple seems to have worked, as they say, for 2.5 years to come through with a revolutionary product. This really does seem to be it.
When it goes on sale in June, it'll retail for between $500 and $600. There are unconfirmed reports of helicopter attacks on suspected Al-Qaeda hideouts in southern Somalia. An earlier strike by a U.S. AC-130 gunship killed 8 people. Not known if they included any top Al-Qaeda operatives. You're listening to the CBS.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
After 4 o'clock, welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can join the conversation in a variety of ways. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, so it doesn't matter where on this planet you are. You can still listen to Enid Live on AM 1320 at 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can call. It doesn't cost you a penny to do it. And more of you who participate in the conversation, the richer the conversation is. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, it's 866-626-1320. Joining me in this hour is State Senator Sheila Kuehl. We have talked a lot about SB 840, which is a single-payer universal health care proposal that she has sponsored that passed both houses of the legislature, was vetoed by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it is couldn't be more top of mind because of Arnold Schwarzenegger's health care proposals that are considered in some quarters bold. I think the New York Times said it sets the standard for the debate because what happens in California, California is such a bellwether state. So State Senator Sheila Kuehl, thank you so much for joining us today.
Always a pleasure to be here. I like it.
We love you, Senator Zelda from Dobie Gillis. All right. So talk to me about SB 840. And anybody who has questions about it, this is the place to ask them. Go ahead and tell me what is, a lot of people don't know, what is a single-payer system and why is it preferable and why will it work?
Well, think of Medicare as a single-payer system. What it means is, and under SB 840, would be the only actual universal health care for all California residents. If you're a resident of California, you participate in this health care system. It's paid for by a low percentage of tax on payrolls for all employers and a low percentage of income for all people making income. It isn't necessarily dependent on whether you have a job or, you know, whether you're in school or whether your parents have a job. All Californians would be covered. And the reason that it's affordable, comprehensive, and also preserves your choice because you can choose any doctor, any hospital, you're not trapped in a network like you are with insurance companies, is because it's paid into a central fund, and out of that central fund, all doctors, all hospitals, all the treatments you get, including dental and vision, are paid. It's very much on the Medicare model, very much on the VA model, which gets very high marks for quality and service in the country. And it really operates because we're spending $186 billion this year in California alone. And I don't mean the state and the feds, although that's about 40%. I mean you and me and our employers, copays, deductibles, premiums, out-of-pocket expenses. And for that money, which on the average is much more than any of the industrialized nations are paying per person for their health care, we can easily afford a totally comprehensive package for every Californian at an affordable rate.
The figures I have seen are that France, which is supposed to have an excellent medical or health care system, Canada, and Australia spend about half what we do per person. They have a lower infant mortality rate than we do and a higher life expectancy. And England spends about, I don't know, almost a third, maybe a little bit more than a third of what we do, and I assume that they also have a lower infant mortality rate and a higher life expectancy than we do. So given all of that, how come this hasn't happened in California or in this country?
Well, this country is very capitalistic, as you know, and we've been sort of sold a bill of goods about how competition improves service, but I think now we've had plenty of experience with health insurance companies and how essentially they're in the business to lower their own risks. They're in the business to keep patients out of their system if they're sick. And so they have a lot of reasons for excluding people, pre-existing conditions, have you ever taken a certain drug, pharmaceutical drug, you know, prescribed, are you in a certain kind of work environment? We just found out the other day by reading the Times all the reasons why they exclude people.
Yes, if you had jock itch successfully treated with cream and you're a recent college graduate, they will have denied you coverage, which is actually what occurred, according to the Times.
It is. And, you know, she did extensive research on that story, and I think it was shocking even to me. And I've seen a number of the things that the companies have done. You know, we shouldn't really fault the insurance companies. Their entire reason for being is to limit their own risk. That's the reason they're there. They don't care whether you get really good health care or not. Providers care, hospitals care, and there's so much unreimbursed care now that, as the governor pointed out, those of us who pay for insurance are actually also funding those who don't pay for insurance, or those who are uninsured. So under SB 840, because everyone's in the risk pool and everyone pays a little bit, we actually can afford a very comprehensive policy that lets you choose your own doctors and hospitals.
Well, the insurers are not going gently into that good night, and they certainly demonstrated that when the Clintons tried to do something in the way of health care. So what will happen if SB 840 goes anywhere? What can we expect from the insurers, and what happens to the insurers if the state of California, essentially, we are self-insured? Isn't that really what happens here?
It's a little different from being self-insured because we're all paying in. So it's not the state sort of guaranteeing your insurance with, you know, tax money or income that they already have. But health insurers would not be operating in California except to offer supplemental policies for things that the state package does not offer.
Like cosmetic, would that be cosmetic surgery?
Cosmetic surgery, if it was elective, although there's some cosmetic surgery which is called for and which your doctor would prescribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be more extensive or expensive hospital stays. I don't know. There might be a whole, you know, Cadillac standard out there that would rise up because we cover everything.
All right, but, so if you wanted to go to some fancy specialist and it might not be covered with your package, you would be free to do that, wouldn't you?
Not if the specialist is offered within the confines of your insurance. You're either in the insurance plan or you're not.
Okay, so if you're in the insurance plan... But you want to
You mean as a patient, could you buy it? Yes, you can.
Yeah, if you are...
You can go to any private practitioner if they won't take your insurance and pay them. But they cannot, the practitioners cannot both be in the insurance plan and not in the insurance plan.
So they have to decide.
Choose.
They have to choose. My guest is State Senator Sheila Kuehl, the author of SB 840, which provides for universal single-payer health care in the state of California. So... What happens to the insurers? They go away. They're
well,
not going to do business in the state.
A lot about the insurers, but I think I'd rather talk about what happens with the patients.
Well, I think
yes,
they're never
the insurance companies go away.
They're never going to let you.
The most important thing.
Well, they're never going to. You know, they're so powerful, and they are so.
Yeah, they're powerful until they're not. You know, I mean, we get hospitals were powerful too, and they didn't want nurse to patient staffing ratios, but we got them. There have been a lot of people who have lobbied against something, but you, including Medicare, but you get the right Congress and the right president, or in this case, the right legislature and the right governor, and you get it. You know, there's a moment in time, and that's what we're working toward.
What people cite often is Canada, and they say that there's a lot of discontent with the Canadian system. You have said that in surveys, 98% of Canadians are very happy with the kind of care they get in Canada. Can you talk about that?
Yes, the Wall Street Journal did a survey in Canada, and they found that asking people would they rather get their health care in Canada or the United States, 98% said, are you kidding, Canada? You know, the United States does not have a great reputation in terms of the provision of health care. It's good quality, but the quality is actually better in Canada. There's a sort of an urban myth that you have to wait a long time for health care treatment in Canada. And I'm sure that there are stories in every province the way there are stories here. But if you had people just in Sacramento line up and tell stories about having to wait for treatment, get an appointment, see a doctor, did they get the right thing? You know, did they have to sue their health care company to get it? I think you get a lot of stories here as well. So it's more of an urban myth about Canada. And actually, our system is not a Canadian system. It's much, much more American. It's more like the VA, more like Medicare.
How does it differ from the Canadian system?
Well, the Canadian system is paid for out of taxes that are all mixed together with all the other taxes. In this system, you just pay in a premium. It stays in the pot and is only spent for health care.
The premium, is it a percentage of your income? How do you determine what the premium is?
The proposal that we are putting forward and developing in SB 840 would constitute the premium as a percentage of your income and also as a percentage of all employers' payrolls. So the Lewin Group that did an analysis about what that would really mean said that it would be about 3.5% or 4% of a person's income. But that would be all you'd ever pay. No other premium, no copay, no deductible. So actually people would pay less than they're paying now, and certainly it would be less risky because employers are shifting much, much more of the cost onto their employees.
That's true. The deductibles are getting higher. What is in-network seems to be getting more anorexic.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's plan is looking at 4% for businesses. Yeah, businesses. If they have 10 or more employees.
Right.
How does that compare with what SB 840 would require?
SB 840, if we fund it the way the Lewin Group study showed, would be about 7% on payroll. But understand that when you limit the employer contribution, as the governor has suggested, to 4% of payroll, it's good that he has, you know, a little responsibility on the employer. But he devolves all the rest of the costs onto the individual. And he mandates that every individual must buy insurance without any control over what the premiums will be.
Well, that's it. Isn't this a windfall for the insurance companies?
Well, I don't know if they can't see it as a windfall because they're also required to take everybody who comes along.
That's right. They can't exclude it. So that will use that as justification for raising the rates. And also they're being required to spend 85% of their premiums on health care rather than administrative costs or profit.
Right. Now, you know, I don't say, oh, everything in the governor's plan is terrible. I think there are a number of nuggets in there that, taken together with Senator Parada's plan and with Speaker Nunez's plan, we will craft with the governor some incremental expansion of coverage in California. But I think the individual mandate is very troubling. I think the expansion of individual health accounts that the governor proposed is very troubling. I think his proposal to tax hospitals and doctors as a part of funding this plan would be very difficult when hospitals are already going belly up. He wants to shift all the money that goes to hospitals for poor people into buying insurance for those poor people, which actually adds a, you know, at least a 15% administrative overhead kind of fee. So I think there are a number of things that he proposes that might have possibilities, but not the way he proposed them.
Well, but you're on two different ends of the spectrum. I mean, he's not willing to do away with the insurance companies. He's making life quite a bit easier for them in some respects. And your plan would really do away with the insurance companies.
Well, but my plan is the long-term plan, really, for the state of California. And when we get it all together, we either have an initiative, we have a governor who will sign it, then that's what we get. But until then, we have all the insurance companies operating in California. And the Speaker and Mr. Parada and the Governor are trying to craft something that maintains the insurance companies but somehow controls what they charge or controls what they provide.
Can that be done? I mean, I think you almost have to say adios to the insurance companies.
Well, you know, that would be easy for people to say, but very difficult to do. And I don't want to say to the people of California, look, I've got the perfect right here. Unless I get the perfect, you get no help. You know, I can't do that. Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed my bill.
Yes, why did he veto it?
You have to ask him.
I'm going to ask him. I want to know. My guest is State Senator Sheila Kuehl, and you may have questions for her about SB 840 or health care in general, and this is a place to ask them. 349-1320 is the number, or 866-626-1320. Let's head over to Nevada City. Bill, hi, you're live with State Senator Kuehl and Enid on AM 1320.
First of all, I'm very much in favor of SB 840, even though I have good coverage at the present time. I have fully paid Part B Medicare from Los Angeles County, as well as a backup TRICARE for life. I personally am fixed. I'm on Medicare. Mm-hmm. My question is, how would your program affect what I am currently on? Would L.A. County be able to substitute your California plan in place of Blue Cross, which I'd be thoroughly in favor of? I would just as soon see the demise of these blood-sucking insurance companies as long as I have the proper coverage. But I would like to know the answer there. Shall I hang up?
No. Well, that's up to Enid. But the answer is yes, your retirement plans would be able to participate in the California plan, and it would be far less expensive for them.
Did you hear it, Bill? You know what I would say? Take the answer off the air, because
okay,
thanks very much. Senator Kuehl, I think he didn't hear the beginning of your response.
Bill, the answer is that the L.A. County plan and all retirement plans would be able to participate in the California plan, and I think it would save them a great deal of money.
One of the things I recall reading as your bill was making its way to the governor's desk is that it was reported that it would save the state about $8 billion. Is that so? Was that an accurate figure?
It would save the state $8 billion in terms of what it's now paying for its employees and its retirees for health care coverage. It would save quite a bit more money than that, however, overall, because we would be able to negotiate prices with pharmaceutical companies, for instance, you know, I've got 37 million patients. What price will you give me on this drug? And also, when you cut administrative overhead down to 5%, which is what Medicare has, what the VA has, and what our plan would have, that money goes directly into health care. So it's a savings, but it's more of a redirection into coverage for all the 37 million people in California.
My guest is Senator Sheila Kuehl. We're talking about health care, and we're talking about SB 840, and we're happy to entertain your questions. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic southbound 99. It looks like westbound Howard Hurley. Downtown, there's a two-car crash over there stopping traffic down Watt Avenue at Black Saddle and Scott Road just south of eastbound 50. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You find it. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you got all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Home. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the food. AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Let me remind you that we are going to be taking the Governor's State of the State address live at 5. And with us is Senator Sheila Kuehl, who is the author of SB 840, Universal Healthcare Single Payer for the State of California. I think it's a wonderful idea. And Senator Kuehl, we have a number of people who want to talk with you.
Good.
So let's go right to the phones. And if you have a question, how will this work? If you're skeptical, if you're a fan, if you have second thoughts, we want to hear from you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Janice in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Senator Kuehl and with Enid on AM 1320.
Is this me?
It is you, Janice. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I first off want to thank Sheila for the song yesterday at the inauguration. I loved it.
Ina doesn't know about that.
What kind of a song did I miss?
Senator Bowen, oh, I guess she's Secretary of State Bowen now, of course,
yes,
at her inauguration asked me if I would sing Sunny Side of the Street.
Oh!
Her favorites and mine, so since I'm
yeah,
a pretty darn good
really
singer, I
down.
Said, sure, you bet.
You want to give us a little flavor of that?
No, I do that for Deb.
Well, we're a great fan of Deb, and we're big supporters of what she's doing, so we're thrilled. Anyway, what is your question, Janice?
Okay, very quickly. My understanding is that this will provide basic coverage, and that such things that companies will be able to afford to provide for their employees, and for other more less basic things such as plastic surgery or the other stuff that's not necessarily critical, the companies would be able to provide extra benefits, which would provide they would be able to give incentives for better employees, and that to some point the current system would stay alive, but we would have basic coverage for everybody.
So your question is?
Is that, do I have a proper understanding of this?
Senator Kuehl?
Well, the benefit package would be written into the statute, and frankly, it's very comprehensive. So I don't know what would be, you know, left. Except for, I could only think of elective plastic surgery. There may be other things.
We've had questions. What about dental? And what about vision?
Vision are in there as well. So is mental health.
What about orthodontia?
I'm not sure the extent of the dental coverage. Because, you know, we don't have the... We're not going to be deciding on the actual plan. Mm-hmm. I'm only saying those areas that have to be covered in the insurance that we're describing. I just have no doubt that insurance companies will find a way to offer something around and about the plan. That's all I said. I think they, you know, they always have and they always will. But our aim is to make this comprehensive, affordable, quality care for everybody. And it's got everything in it that I've got now as a member of the legislature.
Dennis, I thank you for the call. Let's go to Dina in Sacramento. Dina, hi. You're live with Sheila Kuehl and Enid on AM 1320.
Hi. How are you ladies today?
We are good.
Good.
We are healthy.
Well, you know that I'm a baby boomer born 1946, and I know more about the health care issue starting when the employer offered us medical coverage, dental coverage, the whole nine yards since the 60s, and a lot of our wage packages, I'm still waiting to see for that benefit. And I understand probably perhaps more than most how this got to as far as it has to universal health care because of the shifting of money and the profit of the egregious profit for the insurance companies. But through the years, there has been deregulation. I want to know, my question would be, because of deregulation, of the profit making by the insurance companies, I see a lack in laws. I'd like to know what insurance would be or how to ensure the fact that there would be a complete oversight of in universal health care, that the shifting of funds doesn't go somewhere else, that mm-hmm. there is going to be an accountability with universal health
care. Well, you have that. I don't think that's an issue, Dina, with Medicare, but Sheila Kuehl, what would you say to that?
Not with
well,
Medicare,
in a way, it's not an issue with Medicare because of the way it was crafted when Medicare was adopted in the 60s. And in the bill...
I can't hear you.
I'll tell you what, Dina, take your answer on the air. That,
okay.
I think we're having a little bit of a problem
all
here.
Right,
thank
I
you.
Will.
All right, go ahead, Sheila Kuehl.
Okay, in the bill itself, we create a governance structure that does several things. One of them is there's a commissioner that must oversee the entire system. There are a number of boards under the commissioner that have to do with quality, that have to do with setting the premiums, that have to do with reimbursements for providers, etc. The fund itself is completely in a separate fund so that premiums go into the fund and providers are paid out of the fund. It's not mixed with other tax money. It's not available for other tax money or other uses. It can't be borrowed against and it can't be stolen the way some of the other tax monies that we put, say, to education, etc., are. I think we've learned a lot about what to do with this. So we've built in a lot of protection for those funds and for the use of those funds.
Let's head over to Veronica in Lincoln. Veronica, hi. You're live with Sheila Kuehl and Enid on AM 1320.
Hi. I just want to know, so how do you figure out how much a family would pay? Like, is it a percentage of their gross income, or how do you figure that?
I don't know if you'll be able to hear the answer.
I can barely hear you.
Can you hear it at all, or shall I tell you to take your answer? Why don't you listen to the radio?
Okay.
And take it on the air. And thanks, Veronica. Go ahead, Sheila Kuehl.
Okay, the study done by the Lewin Group to show us how this could be paid for indicated, as I think I mentioned, it would take about a 7% premium, 7% of payroll to pay premiums by employers, and about 4% of income to pay premiums for workers or self-employed or, you know, unearned income.
What is the percentage now that employers are paying for Medicare? And what are we paying potential consumers and potential consumers? I mean, if we're still working, what are we paying? What's the percentage? Do we know?
I thought it was 6%. But I'm not sure. That could be Social Security, and then there's a Medicare.
Yeah, I think it's all
on
it's
top
all,
of that.
Yeah, it's sort of all together. Allie in Sacramento. Hi. You're live with Sheila Kuehl and Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Allie.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
I have a question. As a resident of the California, what can we do to make the SB 840 to pass?
Oh, that's a great question. And take your answer on the air, Allie, and I
thank you for calling.
It's a great question. What can we do?
Well, there's a lot of organizing that's gone on. Healthcare for All is an organization that has done a lot of grassroots organizing for the bill, and they have chapters in virtually every town and city in California. So the first thing to do would be to find them online. There's also a great 22-minute video, or I should say film, actually, about the bill, beautifully produced, that you can get for $10 and show to your neighbors and raise their interest in 840 as well. Certainly you can call my office and you can get on an action alert network so that we email you whenever there's something you need to do.
What's the number for your office?
It's 916-651-4023.
916-651-4023.
Right, it's 651-4023.
Okay. So people can get on an action alert list.
Correct.
Anything else that we can do?
Well, you know, what citizens should really do, and that is to always be talking to their local legislators, make sure that your legislators are on board. I don't know where the caller was from, but in Sacramento, of course, new Senator Daryl Steinberg is co-author of the bill. Your Sacramento rep.
What if your representative is actively hostile to it?
Well, then you're not going to get their vote. I mean, we've never gotten a Republican vote, for instance, for the bill. But if you want to work for it, that's why I think going to access Healthcare for All's website or, you know, finding them helps to organize businesses, helps to organize organizations in the area. We've got over 500 organizations that are supporting the bill. That's a really, really important thing. That's why it passed last time, passed both houses. Because it had enormous support, even though there were some people that didn't support it.
My guest is Senator Sheila Kuehl. We're talking about health care, and specifically SB 840. You might have some questions. She'll be with us for a few moments longer. The number, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Looks like we're going to have some snow coming up tomorrow. Not very much, though. And lows tomorrow night. Looks like 38, 49 for the high. Traffic slow southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. And Hemingway Drive at Darnaway, Watt Avenue at Black Saddle, and westbound Howe at Hurley. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Two new vent.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on.
truck. It's a series of tubes.
It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me.
You and me is that
truth. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonia nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
SB 840, and she has to be at the Governor's State of the State address, so we're going to do this very quickly, and let's go right to the phones. Dawn in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Sheila Kuehl and Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Senator Kuehl, I'd like to encourage you to introduce legislation to extend long-term care insurance coverage to the domestic partners of state employees.
Did you hear that, Senator Kuehl?
I did barely hear it, but I'd heard domestic partners of state employees
she would
and
like
long-term care insurance.
Yes, that's what she said. And Don, take your answer on the air because we're having trouble hearing both of you at the same time. That's what she wants. Is there a possibility for that?
Well, I don't know, but I certainly will put it in the mix. I'm not certain about extending it, but you mean when the one partner in a domestic partnership has it to require that it be provided to the other. I think that's what is meant. We'll look into that for sure.
All right. What if one is a resident and one is not a legal resident of the state? Wouldn't that affect the outcome?
Probably not.
Okay. Let's head over to Ernie in Sacramento. Ernie, you're live with Sheila Kuehl and Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ernie.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing well. We just have a couple seconds. What's your...
All right. Briefly want to know, will the California legislators be covered under this proposed plan?
Ooh, that's a good question. Take your answer on the air, Ernie.
I can't. I don't have a...
Oh, okay. See if...
You're telling yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. Did you hear me?
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes, and thank you for calling. And finally, let's go to Melanie in Sacramento. Melanie, you're live with Sheila Kuehl and Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Melanie.
Hi. You know, under the current system with Medicaid, they take your house when you die. Would they still do that under the SB 840?
With Medicare, is it Medi-Cal where they
Medicaid,
do that? Medicaid.
Medi-Cal here.
Okay. Is that something that would happen, Sheila, that they would take your house?
And have you stopped beating your wife?
Well, you know, we had a number of people calling in to say that if you are getting money, Melanie, I would say listen on the air and hear Senator Kuehl's response. And thank you for calling. People who called in to say that if that they would that they're not accepting Medi-Cal even though they're eligible for it, because in one woman's case she has a house, she was hoping to leave it to her daughter. You'd have to sell the house.
Well, here's the thing, Enid. I think all Californians would be covered, but I would assume that the Medi-Cal rules under which the state actually pays for your care could remain the same, because we would be incorporating the state monies, but the state would make its own rules about how those monies would be spent. However, if you were not covered by Medi-Cal, you would be covered by this plan. And, you know, we have to really work hard to make certain that people don't fall through the cracks in between public funding and this plan.
Would your plan cover people, illegals as well as legals?
Yes, it would.
Okay. And
but they'd have to get a card somehow. In other words, they'd also be paying a part of their income. Or if they're indigent, then they would be covered. But, you know, we're already spending money on indigent people,
well,
not just illegal people, in the emergency rooms.
Well, and also a public health issue, things that are highly communicable. Don't ask whether you're here legally or not. They don't want to see your papers before they infect you.
That's exactly right.
And finally, if you are, once you become 65 or whatever the age is for Medicare, you transition into that system, presumably.
Yes, but this could be your Medicare provider, because there wouldn't be any supplement and there wouldn't be any Part B, because pharmaceuticals are covered.
Okay, I'll ask a ridiculous question. If this is such a great system, and if it really passes, will everybody from every other state want to live in California because the insurance benefits will be so wonderful?
Well, I haven't seen them moving to Massachusetts, you know. I mean, and we hear that that's going to be a great system. I think.
Well, right now, more are leaving.
For different reasons.
Yeah, more are leaving California than are entering. I know you have to go, and so we're sorry to say goodbye to you, but we're delighted that you could join us today, Senator
Thank
Sheila
Kuehl. Thank you so much for spending so much time on this issue. This is great.
This is great, and your work has been great on this. Thank you so much.
Bye.
And I'm Enid Goldstein, and guess what? We have... let's see. We have, I think, one more break that we need to take. So why don't we do that right now? And if you have questions about SB 840, if you have questions about Arnold Schwarzenegger's plan, if you are planning to listen to his State of the State address, don't go anywhere, because you can hear it right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Let's take our break now. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
They have a stop down. I'm not sure how many vehicles are involved, but they're stopped. A lot of emergency vehicles are at Main Avenue and Madison Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Sweet.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to sh- Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
We like that. 4:50 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 7. 3 to 7. And I want to remind you, if you're just tuning in, you've missed Sheila Kuehl. But you have not yet missed Arnold's State of the State address. And that happens at about 5 o'clock. And we will bring it to you live. Comments about what Sheila Kuehl had to say. Comments about SB 840. Comments about Arnold's health care proposals.
This is the place to make them. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Red in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Red.
Enid, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Listen, your last caller, while she was talking about Medi-Cal and the draconian rules that can destitute people to go after their money and property and whatever else, to get recovery, it's what's called recovery, is very important. It's important to, under Sheila's bill, very important point to keep in mind in her bill, because we don't know what kind of government or what kind of makeup we may have in the years down the line. And the state is notorious about converting a means of recovery from people who use services. So while we say it's single payer now, a future...
In other words, you're afraid that if you use the services under something like SB 840, they'll do what they do with Medi-Cal, and they'll you'll have to reimburse the state by selling your house or whatever.
Yeah, they could implement rules. We don't know what they might do. So it's very important in this bill to get it straight that those recipients of services under a universal health care plan, the state won't come back. There's no statute of limitation, so they won't come back 10, 15 years and say, oh, well, now we're going to make it progressive. And since you have a house and a little bank account, we're going to take 90% of that or something to cover what you...
I think that I don't see... I really don't see that happening. But
I don't see it happening, but we have to make sure it can't happen, because we don't know what the next administration and the next administration is going to look like.
All right, Red, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Veronica in Lincoln. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Veronica.
I just, what are the cons against this new bill coming out?
Which one?
SB
840?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't really see too many of them. I see a lot of cons with Arnold's, but I don't see too many with SB 840, although nothing's perfect. I'm sure there are some downsides to it. But I think the upsides outweigh the downsides. It would have been a good question to ask Sheila Kuehl. She could have answered that for you.
Too bad. Okay.
Yeah. But keep an eye on it and keep looking at it with an eagle beetle eye. I can't say it, Veronica. It's a tragic moment. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Alice in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I want to know what happens if you're on Medicare with no Medigap, so you only get 80% if you're lucky and great big fat deductibles, and then what happens with that abomination we call a Medicare prescription drug plan with a hole in the middle?
That I don't know. I think Medicare remains Medicare, whatever its problems are. They have to be fixed at the federal level. This is a state system. And she said, and I said, well, then what happens? You're on the state system until you become 65, and then you transition to Medicare. And she said, not necessarily. You could stay on the state system.
Well, what if you're on Medicare now? Can you get off of it and onto the state system as far as medical care and prescription drugs?
That I don't know. You know, it's not happened yet. 840 won't happen yet, and it's not going to happen probably for a while. And what's probably going to happen is it's going to have to be some kind of a crafting between what Fabian Nunez has to offer, what Don Parada has to offer, what the governor is offering, and what Sheila Kuehl is offering. So somehow they're going to, I don't know, I hope it's not like a camel has been described as a horse by committee. I hope it's not like that, but who knows?
But okay, how do I find out?
You know what? You can call Sheila Kuehl's office.
Who?
Sheila Kuehl's office. She was our guest, and you can get on her action alert system, and they let you know whenever there's any news to report. And I thank you, Alice, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What we're talking about is a single-payer, universal health care system in the state of California. I think it would be great. I think it's exactly what people want to have happen. And I don't understand the polling that tells us that really only 4% of us are interested. I think a lot of us care about our health, and a lot of us are kind of nervous about health care, and a lot of us don't feel like and even when you have health care, it's the illusion of health care. When you need to go and collect on it, you find out that it's not, there's less there than meets the eye. Let's see. Here's Bonnie has just emailed me. I was surprised that he's taking money from doctors. I guess she means Schwarzenegger, who are making less money today than they were 10 years ago, but not taking money from pharma or health insurance. You are right, she says. It is a tax. Dumb idea. Well, what the governor is proposing is a... what he is proposing is a 4% tax, essentially, on employers. If you have more than 10 employees, you have to insure them, and if you don't insure them, you have to pay 4% of their salaries into a fund. So it is being called a tax, although the governor doesn't want to call it a tax. The governor wants to call it a fee, because if it's a tax, it's going to require 2/3 majority to pass. Meanwhile, I have I have an advanced copy of the governor's speech, and I think some of the issues he's going to bring up, and he will be doing that in the 5 o'clock at about 5 o'clock, and we're going to bring you that speech live with appropriate comments by moi, your goddess, but you'll still be able to hear everything that Arnold has to say, pretty much. Remember, he's called California a nation state. He says, as you know, California, if a nation, would be the sixth largest economy in the world. He talks about investments. He talks about the future. He's talking about some of the ideas of our legislative leaders. He's talking about water. He's the water transit system, talking about debt reduction and water storage. He'll be talking about a number of these issues. So all of that is coming up in his State of the State address at 5 o'clock. But he's making a lot of headlines right now because he's calling for care to be universal. It's not going to be single payer, but he wants to insure everybody. And what the New York Times in its subhead is saying, health planning... Left channel.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. With a new regime on Capitol Hill, a new look at safeguarding the nation from terrorism, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Keeping an early campaign promise, House Democrats passed a bill to implement many of the remaining recommendations of the 9/11 Commission, including checking all cargo put on airplanes. 9/11 commissioners had long complained about half their recommendations had been ignored. House Democratic leader Steny Hoyer.
Through this important legislation, this House will take a vital step
forward in protecting our people and our nation.
Some Republicans complained lots of these ideas are good, but Democrats still haven't said how they'll pay for them. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Democratic leaders in the Senate are talking about ways to block a troop buildup in Iraq.
Tens of thousands of additional American troops will only make the Iraqis more resentful of America's occupation. It will also make the Iraqi government even more dependent on America, not less.
Senator Ted Kennedy wants to withhold funds for more troops until Congress approves the president's plan, which he'll announce tomorrow evening. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has more from the White House.
To hear Tony Snow tell it, the new strategy to be unveiled by Mr. Bush is meant to address the ongoing surge in sectarian violence in Iraq.
A war is not a fixed thing that proceeds along a predetermined or straight path. As situations change, you must adjust.
CBS News has been told that Mr. Bush will announce a phased increase of 22,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. Half would be deployed within weeks. The others would go only if the Iraqi government takes a more aggressive role in clamping down on the violence. Mr. Bush spent the day briefing members of Congress and key foreign leaders, including his closest ally, British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
U.S. forces in Iraq joined Iraqi troops in an assault on insurgents in central Baghdad. Some 50 people were killed in a day-long battle. Baseball great Tony Gwynn says the news he got today was kind of a validation.
When the phone rang this morning, I think it all kind of hit you at once, you know. He didn't even have a chance to get out, you're a Hall of Famer. He just said, congratulations, and I was done.
Gwynn and Cal Ripken Jr. will be enshrined at Cooperstown, but Mark McGwire, whose 70 home runs in a season are clouded by allegations of steroid use, didn't come close. He got just 23.5% of the baseball writers' votes. Over the objections of environmentalists, President Bush has lifted a ban on oil and gas drilling in Bristol Bay, Alaska. A leak in the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline prompted a shutdown today. Officials say up to 500 gallons spilled. A cleanup is underway. The price of oil fell to an 18-month low today, $55.64 a barrel. The NASDAQ dropped 5 points and the Dow dropped 6 to 12,416. This is CBS News.
It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to be timid. It's okay when there's the unknown out in front of you. But it's also okay to believe in yourself. It's okay to put yourself out there. It's okay to try something new. It's okay to say, it's my turn. It's okay.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com. And we want you to know, it's okay to look. In fact, Match.com is so confident that you'll find someone special within 6 months, we guarantee it. It's only at the all-new Match.com. See site for details.
Time to get in shape and look good doing it. At Kohl's January Savings Sale starting Wednesday, you'll find great savings on stylish workout wear and casual apparel, like 40 to 50% off Mrs. Active and fitness wear, and 30 to 50% off athletic shoes for the entire family. And if you're shaping up for a whole new look, come save on our entire stock of denim jeans. There's something for everyone. Jumpstart your new year at Kohl's January Savings Sale starting this Wednesday. Kohl's, expect great things.
Four U.S. airlines have been competing for routes between Washington and China. Today, United won the race. WTOP Radio's Hank Silverberg has the story.
United Airlines has been awarded the first nonstop air route from Dulles to Beijing. Mike Whitaker, a senior vice president at the airline, says the daily flights will begin March 25th.
Our flights tend to carry mostly U.S.-based passengers, but there's a trade component. There's also a governmental component. This allows a nonstop flight between these two governmental capitals.
United has a hub at Dulles. Three other airlines had competed for the route. About 65,000 people in the D.C. area went to China in 2005.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
5:04 is the time, and welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're going to be taking the governor's State of the State speech live as it comes to us. We're expecting it to happen momentarily. And I am yours, as I said, until 7. You can join the conversation once the governor's speech is completed, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I have an advanced copy of the governor's speech, and I know some of the themes that he's going to be touching on. The speech is embargoed, of course, until he gives it.
I think he's going to be introduced by the lieutenant governor of the state of California, and we don't have that yet. But the speech is scheduled for a little bit after 5 o'clock, and as we have it, I will bring it to you. So, housekeeping details. You can listen online always. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can email me, Enid@kctc.com. We love it when you call, and wait until the speech is over to do that, because we won't be taking calls during the speech. The number is 349-1320 or toll-free 866-626-1320. If you were just joining us, you've missed a pretty lively conversation about health care and SB 840 with State Senator Sheila Kuehl, who is the author of SB 840, Universal Health Care Single Payer in the State of California. I want to remind you that tomorrow we're going to be taking the President's speech live, and that is scheduled for 6 o'clock. And that in that speech, he is going to try to make the case to the American public as to why 20,000 more people should go to Iraq. So that's what's happening tomorrow at 6 o'clock. A couple of other issues. Let me just tell you what the governor is prepared to talk about in his State of the State address. He'll be he is here in Sacramento. The doctors have told him that he's only allowed to fly once a week, and he gave his health care coverage speech yesterday via video from Los Angeles. He is in Sacramento today to give his State of the State speech, and let's take you live to the governor's State of the State speech here in Sacramento. He's hobbling up, I think, to the podium is what's going on. And we've heard the applause. And with some luck, we'll actually hear what he has to say. He's still hobbling up to the podium on his crutches. Hobble, hobble, hobble. A man who our governor doesn't have a leg to stand on. Not funny. It's actually a pretty serious illness. Okay. The applause is helping him to fan him to get up there. He's almost there. Hobble, hobble, hobble.
Bueno, gobernador, muchos de nosotros esperamos a su salud.
Lots of applause for the governor. Making his way up to the podium.
Well, Governor, many of us enthusiastically await your state of the state address from one thespian to another.
Break a leg when it's your turn.
It's now my pleasure.
It's Don Paradas.
It's now my pleasure to introduce a great friend and my colleague on the Senate site, President Pro Tem of the California State Senate, the Honorable Don Parada.
Senator.
This is a rare opportunity for me to be here. I want to thank all of you for making it possible. I also have the distinct honor to introduce to you the new Lieutenant Governor John Guaramendi. And tonight he'll be performing the most significant job he has as Lieutenant Governor.
For those of you that were here last year, you did a remarkably productive job in the legislature. And I want to thank the people of California who have placed their sacred trust in all of us as their elected representatives. But Governor, last Friday at your inaugural, you pledged to address California's critical issues in a postpartisan partnership. And yesterday you made good on that promise with a far-reaching health care proposal. Thank you. Thank you for a very courageous leadership. Really did it. And now we hear the rest of the story. It is my distinct honor and privilege to present to you California's 38th governor, the honorable and courageous Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Lots of applause. Looks like he's sitting down, wearing a green tie, the same green tie he wore in the debate with Phil Angelides, it looks like. No, he's not sitting down. He's standing up. He's standing up. I thought he was sitting down. Maybe he should sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Garamanti, Speaker Nunez, Senate Leader Parada, Senator Ackerman, Leader of Alliance, my fellow servants of the people, ladies and gentlemen. I am honored to stand here once again. I want to thank the legislature, as I did in my inaugural address, for putting the people above politics last year, an election year. The federal government was paralyzed by gridlock and gains. But you here in this chamber acted on infrastructure, the minimum wage, prescription drug costs, and the reduction of greenhouse gases in our atmosphere. What this said to the people is that we are not waiting for politics. We are not waiting for problems to get worse. We are not waiting for the federal government. We are not waiting, period. Because the future does not wait. I believe that together, not only can we lead California into the future, we can show the nation and the world how to get there. We can do this because we have the economic strength, we have the population and the technological force of a nation state. We are the modern equivalent of the ancient city-states of Athens and Sparta. California has the ideas of Athens and the power of Sparta. As you know, California, if a nation, would be the sixth largest economy in the world. But it goes so much beyond that. According to The Economist magazine, California is home to three of the top six universities in the world. California has more Nobel laureates, more scientists, more engineers, more researchers, more high-tech companies than any other state. We are responsible for one of every four U.S. patents. We account for one of every five U.S. technology jobs. We attract almost half of all of U.S. venture capital, which funds the ideas and the industries of the future. California leads the nation in biotechnology. We lead the nation in nanotechnology. We lead the nation in medical technology. We lead the nation in information technology. And we will soon be recognized as the leader in clean technology. Worldwide, clean tech investments are up by 50% in the first 9 months alone last year. California is spurring clean technology by the environmental standards that we are setting. Our innovation, our science, our knowledge, our creativity is unequaled on the face of the earth. The 21st century can be the golden century for our golden state. So I've asked myself, what must we do in this chamber to help fulfill this future? It starts very simply. We can start by all of us working together. Now, usually when a governor gives his State of the State address, he talks about his vision. This year, I want to do something different. I want to talk about our vision. Because I think that we all want the same thing for California. Let me tell you about some of the ideas of our legislative leaders, and these are terrific ideas. Speaker Nunes has made research into alternative energy and transportation fuels a top priority this year. Speaker Nunes, I will work with you on that. A top priority for Senator Lita Barada is to create a world-class water transit system in the Bay Area that will maintain vital transportation links after an earthquake or other disasters. Senator Barada, I will work with you on that. Republican leaders in both the Senate and the Assembly have made debt reduction and building water storage their top priorities this year. Senator Ackerman, Assembly Leader of Alliance, I will work with you on that. Let me explain to you some of the other areas where we can come together this year. In November, the people have approved the first phase of infrastructure bonds necessary to rebuild our state. During a speech at the Pat Brown Institute, I heard Senator Barada say that the people of California expect to see construction cranes right away. They want to see action. Well, Senator Barada, I absolutely agree with you on that. We, the elected leaders, must authorize the cranes, the bulldozers, and the cement trucks to begin their work without delay. This is a test for those of us in this chamber in another way. Will the process turn into a pork fest as it did in Washington with all the earmarks and the backroom deals? Or when we have allocated the spending, will the people say they spent our money wisely? Yet this is more than just about the people's money. It is about the people's trust. Let us not disappoint them.
You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, the Governor's State of the State Address.
We must also be good stewards, because we must go back to the people for permission to build more and to finish the job. The building has just begun. 1 year ago, I unveiled a $200 billion plan that prepared California for the next 10 years. We are a big state and we have big needs, and we have made a big down payment. But the job is not finished. Some areas, such as prisons or water storage, were not included. And we still have more roads to build, more schools to construct, and more universities to equip to keep up with the future. As I've said last year, California's population is expected to increase by as much as 30% over the next 20 years. This is the equivalent of adding three new cities the size of Los Angeles. We have to prepare for that growth. So this year we must invest in five infrastructure areas in particular: public safety, water supply, transportation, education, and disaster preparedness. Now let me give you a couple of examples why we must act now. Public safety is the first priority of government. Our prisons are in crisis. We have inherited a problem that was put off year after year after year. Last year, I called a special session to address this crisis. The session was not successful, so I declared a state of emergency. It is still an emergency. Our prison system is a powder keg. It poses a danger to the prisoners, a danger to the officers, and a danger to the well-being of the public if, as the federal courts have threatened, that we are forced to release prisoners because of overcrowding. We have thousands of prisoners housed in gymnasiums, TV rooms, dining rooms, hallways, anywhere there is space. You all know that we have 172,000 prisoners in facilities that are designed to hold about 100,000. That is a danger, and that is a disgrace. Here are the court-ordered choices that we face. We build more prisons or we release criminals. We build more prisons or the courts take the money from education and from healthcare and builds the prisons itself. Now, I am not in favor of releasing criminals, nor am I in favor of taking money from classrooms and emergency rooms to build prison cells. Where do you stand? We must act. We must act this year. Which is why on December 21st, I stood with Senator Gloria Romero and Senator George Runner and Assemblyman Greg Agassarian to introduce comprehensive prison reform. We need a justice system that is fair, that is tough, and that offers hope for those who can still turn their lives around.
The prison system has been a mess under this governor's tenure. We'll be talking about that and any other things that we want to in the speech afterward.
The number of high technology companies that we have in California is related to how many brilliant scientists we have in our universities, which in turn relates to how many smart undergraduates we have, which is related to the number of high school students who graduate, and so it goes down through the grades. This small child with the sticky hands starting the first day in kindergarten is the foundation of California's economic power and leadership. We must invest in education. But it is not just how much money we spend, but also how we spend it. I've seen the need with my own eyes as I've toured the schools across our state. I went to a school where they had bed sheets on the windows rather than blinds. I went to a school that was so overcrowded that they used the gym locker room that was used for teaching space. The education bond that passed in November builds 10,000 new classrooms and renovates 38,000 more. But that gets us only through the next 2 years. We need to build for the future. This year, I ask you to invest in 15,000 more classrooms and renovate 40,000 more. Yet we must build not only structure, but accountability and transparency into our education system. As a step towards the day when parents will have real choices in our public education system, where to send their children, we should provide parents with relevant, accessible information, not buried in bureaucracy. If you can get information about a car online, why can we not get information about our local schools online? What percentage of money goes into the classroom? Does the school offer preschool programs, after-school programs, music, arts, or physical education? What is the graduation rate of this school versus this school? What's the dropout rate? You cannot easily get this information today. So how can a school or a school district be held accountable? So I want to work with the legislature to make this information readily available and user-friendly for the parents so that they can make intelligent choices about their child's school. We must also continue to reinvigorate career tech education. I love career tech education. Love it. And we must support quality charter schools and find innovative solutions to the teacher shortage. Now, I will not discuss all of the infrastructure proposals this evening, but I want to say one final thing about this topic. Building California and rebuilding California is not a burden. It is not a chore. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to be able to help this state reach its full potential. It is a privilege to be able to help the future generations fulfill their promise. And when they look back, they will see you in this room, and they will be grateful for what you have done. Now, in addition to addressing our infrastructure, last year the legislature joined me in passing the historic global warming measure that caps greenhouse gas emissions. We hear so much about climate change. One area where we definitely need the climate to change is the national government's attitude about global warming.
We'll be taking your calls and talking about the speech when it concludes. You're listening to AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It would not act, so California did. California has taken the leadership in moving the entire country beyond debate and denial to action. As California goes, so goes the rest of the nation. So I ask you to appropriate the funds to implement this global warming legislation so that we can become part of the world market that is already trading credits for the reduction of greenhouse gases. I also ask you to work with me on another environmental first. I propose that California be the first in the world to develop a low-carbon fuel standard that leads us away from fossil fuel. And let us use the freedom and the flexibility of the market to accomplish it. Let us blaze the way for the U.S. and for China and for the rest of the world. Our cars have been running on dirty fuel for too long. Our country has been dependent on foreign oil for too long. So I ask you to set in motion the means to free ourselves from oil and to free ourselves from OPEC. I ask you to encourage the free market to overthrow the old order. California has the muscles to bring about such change. I say, use it. Now let's talk about health care. When I first came here in 1968, one of the first things that I did was ask people, where could I get health insurance? Because I knew that as an athlete, injuries happen, as I could find out just very recently. Here's the ironic thing about health care today. California's medical care, its medical knowledge, its medical technology is as strong and as vibrant as a bodybuilder. Yet our health care system itself is a sick old man. You know the reasons? It's rising costs and lack of coverage. Nearly 6.5 million Californians have no insurance at all. Recently, I visited California Hospital Medical Center in downtown Los Angeles. And they're doing a terrific job there. Fantastic. But last year, the uninsured people who came to the emergency room left behind $60 million in unpaid bills. Now, this is just one hospital. Multiply that by the number of hospitals that we have in California, and it amounts to billions and billions of dollars. Guess who pays for all of this? It's you, you, you. All of us who are lucky enough to have coverage. That's who pays. The people with insurance pay a hidden tax through higher deductibles, higher costs, higher premiums, higher co-pays. This year, we must take action on health care. Yesterday, I announced my proposal. I know you also have your proposals. And I love that. I've always said you can never have too many ideas. So I welcome all of those ideas, regardless of origin. They all are on the table. And I do believe, however, that the ultimate answer will come from the principle of shared responsibility. Shared responsibility by government, by the employers, by the health plans, by the doctors, by the hospitals, and by the individual. In the past, health care reform was always dead on arrival. But this year, I can feel something different in the air. I can feel the energy, the momentum, the desire for action. People really want to get this taken care of. You can feel that the time is right. As a matter of fact, both leaders have said to me that we will get this done. My Republican friends said we will get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, we will get it done. California is going to lead the nation in breaking new grounds to meet the health care needs of its people. Now tomorrow, I will outline my budget, which is balanced and which fully funds education. Now when I first became governor, we had an operating deficit of $16.5 billion, and our state was almost in bankruptcy. I said that through discipline and through revenues that flow from our economic growth, we could reduce the deficit over time. Last year, we got it all the way down to $4 billion. Tomorrow, I will propose a budget that will dramatically reduce this deficit even further.
You're listening to the Governor's State of the State address on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We'll be taking your calls afterward all about it
now
on Unit Live.
Here's the great thing. We have made all of this progress without raising taxes. We have reduced the deficit not by burdening the people or businesses, but by encouraging economic growth. This year, California has the highest revenue in its history, the highest revenues in its history, and the lowest unemployment rate in 30 years. Ladies, Ladies and gentlemen, the state of our state is strong. We still have very difficult choices to make in the budget and in other things, and I'm eager to work with you on all of those choices. Now, I'm not asking you not to be Republicans or not to be Democrats or to give up your principles. I'm asking you to be Californians and to work out a solution that is the best possible answer to the challenges that we face. As long as we recognize some progress towards our individual visions, whether it's Republican or Democrat, this should allow us the freedom to reach a budget agreement and to move forward together. Now, one last item, and I don't want to be a pest about that. I again this year raised the issue of political reform. California politics is a centrifuge that forces voters and policies and parties away from the center. This centrifuge is powered by the way our legislative and congressional districts are drawn. Now, we all know what we're talking about here. They're drawn to eliminate party competition. They work against the mainstream, which is where most of Californians are. Currently, ours is not a system of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's a system of the parties, by the parties, and for the parties. In the past three election cycles, only four out of California's 459 congressional and legislative seats changed hands. There was more turnover in the Habsburg monarchy than in the California legislature. I ask you to work with me to create an independent commission to fix a political system that has become petrified by self-interest. California certainly is not alone in this. No state legislature in U.S. history has put a redistricting reform on the ballot. California, though, can be the first. We can be a leader. You will not benefit politically from this. I will not benefit politically from this, but the people will benefit from this. So I ask you to work with me to do the right thing. Let's do the right thing for the people. Now let me close with this thought. We accomplished historic things last year. Let us make this year historic as well. I know that what I have proposed is an ambitious agenda. I heard that last year, and I heard that the year before that, and the year before that. Yes, it is an ambitious agenda, but we must be ambitious to get California to the future. We are addressing needs that have been ignored for decades. This is important work. It's hard work. It's heavy work. Yes, I know. What we are doing relates directly to the kind of state that this will be in 10 or 20 years. But is this not what government should be doing? For too long, California has just stared at this mountain called the future. We couldn't climb it because our current problems blocked the path. We couldn't climb it because it was politically too steep. We couldn't climb it because we couldn't agree on a route that would take us there. But last year, we made the decision. We took a deep breath and we began our ascent. Working together, we can scale that mountain. We can stand on top of it. And one day we will look down from it and say to ourselves, look how far we have come. Look where we are. Look what we have accomplished for the people. Ladies and gentlemen of the legislature, let us continue the climb that we began last year. Thank you very much, and God bless all of you.
You have been listening to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's State of the State address, coming to you live from the Capitol in Sacramento. The doctors say he can only fly once a week until he heals. And he didn't come in yesterday for the announcement that he released on health care, but he came in today, and he stood. As far as I can tell, he is standing to deliver in his green tie and other accoutrements the State of the State address. He's back on his crutches now, and he's hobbling back off the podium. I wonder what your thoughts are about what he had to say. You know, a State of the State address has to be optimistic. A speech has to do a lot of different things if you are a governor. It has to unite everybody. And a couple of themes keep coming up with Arnold Schwarzenegger that he has found useful. He's making his way down the podium step by step. He is shaking hands as he makes his retreat. It has to unite everybody. It has to inspire us. A couple of things that keep emerging is a kind of centrism that he is trying to promote, a kind of bipartisanism. And he has referred to California in any number of ways as a kind of nation state. I wonder what your thoughts are about the speech that Arnold Schwarzenegger just gave. It seemed like a pretty good speech. It stayed very true to the advance copy of the speech, very little deviation from it. This is exactly what happened when in the swearing-in as well. He doesn't deviate very much from the advance text of the speech. He delivers the speech very well. And I wonder what your thoughts are, and we will take your calls as we continue. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, and let me give you the numbers. Your thoughts about Arnold Schwarzenegger's State of the State address today, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Remember that we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com, and you can email me, Enid, at kctc.com. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Scott Road, just south of eastbound 50, we have a two-car crash. It looks like we're doing that thing again over at southbound 99. Northbound 99 as well, just past Arden Way and southbound Watt at Whitney. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You find it
all. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive, massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Her face is a map of the world, is a map of the world. You can see she's a beautiful girl, she's a beautiful girl. And everything around her is a silver pool of light. People who surround her feel the benefit of it, it makes you count.
On the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. The Democratic response to Governor Schwarzenegger is in process right now. Don Parada, Senate President Pro Tem, and Fabian Nunez. And what they're talking about is flood rebuilding, and they've been talking about education and so on. My question to all of you is, how do you feel about the governor's speech? Did you listen in its entirety? I know a lot of you who listen to Enid Live are Phil Angelita supporters. We're supporters of the governor. Are you buying what he has to say? Did you think it was a well-delivered speech, even though it was filled with all kinds of platitudes? What are your thoughts about it? Instead of hurling a shoe at your radio or at your television set, call us instead with your thoughts. We don't have to wait. This is what's great about talk radio, is that the feedback is immediate. And here's the number, 349-1320. 866-626-1320. The themes that Schwarzenegger, that worked so well for him in the election and that he keeps hammering, are centrism, bipartisanism. In other words, it's not left, it's not right, it's not Republican, it's not Democrat, we need to all work together. Now, I think that that strikes a great chord in people. I think that's what ideally we'd like to see happen. But I don't know if that's going to happen. And what he's also talked about, and in his column today in the Bee, there was some fun made of Peter Schrag, who's really one of the wisest people about what happens in California. He made comments about tonight only, the state of the California's nation state. You can't say the man thinks small. This isn't Jerry Brown asking Californians to lower expectations. This isn't George Duke Majan, who some people called Governor No. This isn't Pete Wilson describing California as a welfare magnet. This is the fantastic, born again, Arnold Schwarzenegger, new and improved. He's going to provide all Californians with health insurance. He's going to build $50 million worth of new roads, schools, prisons, and levees. He's going to exploit state-funded stem cell research for new cures for Alzheimer's, for Parkinson's, and for other diseases. So rest easy, Michael Fox. All of it at no additional cost to the taxpayers. And at no extra charge, he's going to implement the world's most comprehensive plan to reduce greenhouse gases, no more flatulence, by harnessing the self-interest of capitalism to heal the environment. He'll make the coming era one of post-partisanship, so post-partisanship depression. Remember, postpartum, never mind. A model for the nation. Toto, Peter Schrag is writing, we are not in Kansas anymore. The other day, outgoing treasurer Phil Angelides, remember him, fired his last official blast at the state's chronic fudge and borrow fiscal syndrome. California, according to his numbers, has authorized $111 billion in borrowing since 2002 and was likely to be exposed to an additional $9.5 billion with the governor's proposed lease revenue bonds for new prisons. On top of that, California was going into the new year, the sixth of an economic recovery with another structural deficit, the difference between expected expenditures and revenues of $5.5 billion in a total budget of about $110 billion. While we're running a deficit, Angelides said, we're authorizing more debt. It is a culture of borrowing without limit. The state is already spending as much on debt service as it is on the University of California and the California State University system. Let me give you that number again. Remember, Arnold was painting a picture about how we are paying down the deficit in the state of California. Peter Schrag, who is very wise and an old hand at knowing what really goes on in California, says the state is already spending as much on debt service, in other words, the interest on the debt, as it is on the University of California and the California State University system combined. As in Washington, Phil said that debt will make it increasingly difficult to meet future needs, particularly the need to, quote, invest in people. And when the economy goes into a down cycle, as it surely will, the options will be grimmer still. The time to tackle the problem is when things are good. What a spoilsport. And, oh, yes, there's the $500 million whack at welfare. When Arnold was talking about the prison meltdowns, he didn't talk about what happens to prisoners once they're in custody. He didn't talk about any kind of education that goes on there. All he's talking about is building new prisons. He didn't talk about what a revolving door the whole prison system is. So I want to know what your thoughts are about listening to the speech that Arnold gave. If you didn't have Peter Schrag to look at for the pushback or what Phil Angelides said, you would think, you know, this is a pretty rosy, upbeat assessment. Arnold is looking healthy despite the fact that he's probably on mind-altering meds. He's on crutches. He's hobbling, which the state is a little bit too. But he's painting the rosiest possible picture. And he's such a good actor that it's easy for us to buy into it. Are you buying into it? We would love to buy into it. I love to buy into it. I'm typically optimistic when I'm not being utterly pessimistic. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about the Arnold State of the State address today? Are you believing what he has to say? Are you questioning what he has to say? Are you wanting to fall in love with what he has to say? And particularly when he talks about redistricting. You know, there are some districts in California that are so heavily gerrymandered that they're really not reflective. But do you think it will really happen? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, Arnold's sure a fill at home the last couple of days because I think it is going to snow. Yeah, I don't want him to walk out on his crutches, though, in that snow. He might be in really big trouble. Yeah?
He's going to ski?
Yeah, ski or snowboard.
He's going to ski through those box dots that separate the lanes? Is that what he's going to do?
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Bump, 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 bump. Bump into the night?
Moguls on South End 99. I like it. And there are some, actually, I'm pretty sure.
Who, like David Geffen? Oh, never mind.
Oh, anyway. So what happened to Arden Way? Hit and runs. Westbound 50 just east of Southbound I-5. We have a two-car crash. And Sky Road just south of Eastbound 50. There's a two-car crash there as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from Canada. chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
At Cash Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney,
what drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Wednesday is when we're going to carry the president's request to, or his sales pitch to send 20,000 more troops to Iraq, and that'll be at 6 o'clock. What we have just, if you're just tuning in, you've just missed the governor's State of the State address, and I wonder what your thoughts are about it. Many of you are speechless on the subject. Did you just tune out because, hey, we're progressive and he isn't, or did you listen? And what did you? What were your thoughts? John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Enid. You know, he still can't act. That's one, that's for sure.
He can or he cannot?
Cannot.
Well, I don't know. I thought he did I thought he did a good job of it.
Yeah, well, he's not convincing me, you know. He's a hypocrite. I mean, I'd like to know what happened in those meetings with Ken Lay prior to the energy crisis that put us in the hole that we're at right now.
Well, and I don't hear anybody talking, Democrat or Republican, on rate re-regulation. It hasn't even come up. Nobody's pushing for it.
No, I understand, but I'm sure he was part of the group that engineered all the billions of dollars that was stolen away by the energy companies. If he's that tough guy that he pretends to be, he'd be going after the energy companies that still
own. Well, if he were that.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
The new majority in Congress made it a priority, and now CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the House has voted to implement recommendations from the 9/11 Commission that have languished till now.
About half the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission have been put into effect. This bill adopts many of the rest. It includes inspection of all cargo put on airplanes, more money for local police radios, and more coordination with federal police agencies. It would make some internal changes in Congress to tighten up supervision of intelligence agencies and change the way Homeland Security grants are allocated, putting more money in places likely to be targeted, like New York, less to places like Montana and Wyoming.
The vote was 299 to 128, with many Republicans joining the Democrats, even though the Bush administration says it can't accept the measure in its present form. U.S. and Iraqi forces launched a new offensive today in the heart of Baghdad. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan is there.
The sound of gunfire echoed around central Baghdad as U.S. and Iraqi troops battled gunmen on North Haifa Street, one day before President Bush was expected to announce a 20,000 troop surge. The renewed battle for Haifa Street shows Iraqi forces can't do this on their own, but even 20,000 more U.S. troops may not be enough.
CBS News has learned that the troop surge would come in phases contingent on Iraqi forces stepping up to the plate. But Democratic leaders in Congress might try to block any additional troops. Senator Edward Kennedy has a proposal.
It requires the president to obtain approval from Congress before he sends even more American soldiers to Iraq.
Without elaborating, Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office says the House will vote on the president's proposal. Cal Ripken Jr. and Tony Gwynn have been voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ripken's name appeared on 98.5% of the ballots that were cast.
Even though it's such a high percentage of the votes, those words, congratulations, welcome to the Hall of Fame, were much more significant.
Only Tom Seaver and Nolan Ryan got higher percentages. Slugger Mark McGwire, whose achievements have been tainted by allegations of steroid use, didn't even come close. He got support from just 23.5% of the baseball writers voting. These are not your father's social attitudes. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports on a new survey of young adults.
These are the children of the baby boom generation. 18 to 25-year-olds, now known as Generation Next. Seems they're a bit more tolerant than older folks.
They are much more supportive of the idea of gay marriage.
The Pew Research Center's Scott Keeter studied them.
They're more supportive of interracial dating. They're more supportive of immigration.
And Generation Next seems to lean Democratic. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow lost 6 points today, the Nasdaq down 5, and the price of oil fell to $55.64 a barrel. That's an 18-month low. This is CBS News.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
There's a lot of attention on the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas this week, but today in San Francisco, Apple stole the show. CBS News technology correspondent Daniel Seaberg reports.
It's been rumored for months, but now it's a reality, or at least it's about to be. Apple's billionaire in a black turtleneck and jeans came calling today, and he wants you to answer with an iPhone.
iPhone is like having your life in your pocket. It's the ultimate digital device.
Naturally, the iPhone includes the music and video features from its iPod cousins. More than 70 million of them have been sold since 2001. But now there's much more. Global positioning, Google mapping software, web surfing, email, and, oh yeah, a phone.
All this in a package that's thinner than Motorola's Razr phone, thinner and pricier. When the iPod mobile phone goes on sale in June, it's expected to retail between $500 and $600. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Live
local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right here on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. I want to remind you that tomorrow at 6 o'clock, the president will be speaking to the nation. He's commandeered time from all three networks in order to make his pitch for why 20,000 more people should be sent to Iraq. And by all accounts, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. And I want to talk about that. If you were just joining us, you've missed rather a lot today. You have missed a really pretty vibrant discussion about health care, and we started the show with Arnold Schwarzenegger's proposal for universal health care in the state of California. It was on the front page of the New York Times today, I think also the Wall Street Journal, and certainly the Los Angeles Times, just about every major newspaper in the country. And the reason is that California is a bellwether, and so when the discussion moves to universal health care in California, many states will follow. Other states have already begun to provide health care coverage in a way that California has not. In our second hour, we'll be joined by states Senator Sheila Kuehl, Zelda, if you ever watched Dobie Gillis. Senator Kuehl is a sponsor of SB 840, which would provide universal health care coverage in the state of California, single payer. So it wouldn't be this convoluted system that really requires a tax, although Arnold doesn't want to call it a tax. He's calling it a fee. But employers are going to be forced to pay 4%. And if it is a tax, then it means he needs two-thirds in order to vote it in. So whether he's ever going to have that two-thirds, because Republicans have already gone on record as saying they oppose it, you have doctors who oppose it, the California Nurses Association oppose his health care coverage. When Sheila Kuehl was on, she said, you know what, we're bringing 840 back. Don Parada has a plan for health care coverage. Fabian Nunez has a plan for health care coverage. So eventually it's going to happen, and all of these plans are somehow going to get melded. And what I hope does not happen is that you have a horse that's created by a committee which looks like a camel. That's what I hope doesn't happen. But it may be the moment has really come for serious health care revision, beginning in the state of California, and we hope extending outward. Remember, the Clintons tried to do it, health care reform. And it was too early, and the opposition, the insurance companies, were too powerful. In our last hour, we brought you the governor's State of the State speech live from the Assembly here in Sacramento. He's only allowed to fly once a week. Why he didn't come in and deliver his health care proposal in Sacramento yesterday, and rather than by video camera and just stay for a couple of nights, I don't know, but he flew in, and I don't know if he's flying right back. He delivered it standing up, so that means he was standing up for about a half an hour. If you listened to the speech, what were your thoughts about it? They were all high-minded ideas. It all sounds good. He delivers a speech not eloquently, but well. The speeches are not written in an eloquent way, but still inspiring. Wearing a sort of a green tie that on a TV monitor, on a color monitor, looks a little on the bilious side, which he looks a little bilious too, and I'm assuming he's on some pretty high-powered meds because breaking your femur is pretty painful. Today, Governor Schwarzenegger described California as the modern equivalent of the ancient city-states of Athens and Sparta. He wants voters to pass another $29.4 billion in bonds for dams, schools, and courthouses, fresh off an election in which Californians overwhelmingly reelected him and passed all $37.3 billion of his bond measures for transportation and other projects. We are a big state, and we have big needs, he said. And we made a big down payment, but the job is not finished. Well, he's a big guy, isn't he? Well, he's not so big. He's like about 5'9 and a half, I think. You know, he's wearing those shoes that are a little bit, got lifts in them, you know, heels. He wears heels. I didn't think his hair looked that orange. Usually his hair looks pretty orange in his makeup, but on TV, on the monitor, it looked pretty good. Schwarzenegger, who last month announced a $10.9 billion plan to build new prisons and overhaul sentencing, called the state's prison system a powder keg. Here are the court-ordered choices we face. Build more prisons or we release criminals, he said. Well, let me tell you something. He said a couple of years. to think about what to do about prisons, and he's come up with really nothing. And I think one of the basic things you have to do when you're running prisons in this state is you have to think about not warehousing these prisoners, because they're all going to be out. Most of them are going to be out pretty quickly. And particularly with a court-ordered early release, they'll be out because there's massive overcrowding. So instead of warehousing our prisoners, which is what we have done, you make drug rehab available. You make job training available. You have them do things that we can't afford to do in the society. Work is tremendously transformative. And I don't know why there should even be a discussion about that. I'm going to give you the numbers, 349-1320. Anytime you call, the conversation has gotten richer. So 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And 5 days a week, we have a really rich, compelling, vibrant, sometimes snarky conversation that really includes the whole area. And I'm delighted with that. And I hope you are as well. And I hope you're telling your friends about us as well. So we also stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. Does not cost you a penny to be heard. What do you think about the governor's state of the state? Peter Schreck kind of made fun of it tonight. Only the state of the California's nation state. And he was right to do that. But Arnold gives a convincing presentation, and it's why he got himself reelected. Senator Tim Johnson, whom we are all praying for, because he makes it possible for the Democrats to have a majority in the Senate. His condition has been upgraded from critical to fair, so he continues to progress, and this is really good news. As I said, we're going to be carrying the president's speech tomorrow night, scheduled to run for about 25 minutes or so, in which he's going to make a pitch to the American people about why it's such a great idea to send 20,000 more troops to Iraq. Apparently, by all published accounts, it's pretty much a done deal. He's going to do it. They're going to start going as early as January 30th. We don't know how they're going to do it. We think the Los Angeles Times is reporting that tours of duty are going to be extended. Some people are going to be assigned a second tour of duty in Iraq. The military, it was reported earlier, earlier in the week or last week, has really only about 9,000 available people that they could send, and Dickey wants to send 20,000. In the meantime, on the eve of a major speech by Dickey, our president, in which he is expected to announce an escalation of reportedly 20 to 30,000 troops be sent to Iraq, a new poll finds that a majority of us are against this so-called surge, this escalation. According to a USA Today Gallup poll, we oppose Bush's expected plan by 61 to 31%. So two-thirds of us are not in favor of it. Only one-third is. And you've got to ask yourself, if this one-third, if they have IQs hovering even closely near room temperature, you've got to wonder about this. About 31% of us who still think it's a great idea to send more people into Iraq. What could they be thinking, if anything? A number of polls have shown that when given a choice between a set of alternative ways of handling the troop situation in Iraq, only about 10% of Americans opt for the alternative of increasing troops. The rest opt for withdrawal of troops either immediately, within a 12-month time frame, or by taking as much time as needed. There has been a lot of talk about restricting the troop surge by restricting the funding available. But then there are a lot of people who appear to be knowledgeable, and I guess it'll all shake out as the conversation about it continues, who say it's impossible to do it. It's impossible in a supplemental budget to really break out what is for the troops to go to Iraq, and so it may not be possible to restrict the funding. I mean, I've heard that discussed. I don't know if that's true or not. But 349-1320, it may be that nobody has any, that only the president as commander-in-chief decides he's going to do something and nobody else has any oversight on it. Now, if it happens that you have a corrupt Congress, you wouldn't want the Congress to meddle with executive issues. But in this case, I think you do. This administration, which is run amok, needs oversight. They need wranglers and handlers and managers. They need common sense. With President Bush seeking more U.S. forces in Iraq, a House Democratic chairman outlined options that would restrict any troop surge if it meant depleting readiness at home or extending the tours of troops now in the war zone. This is a strategy that's been laid out by Representative John Murtha, Democrat of Pennsylvania. It is the clearest statement yet on how how House Democrats might respond to anticipated White House proposals to add 20,000 troops and pump new money into economic programs to help Iraqi civilians. Now, here we are having a vibrant and pretty interesting discussion about health care, universal health care in the state of California. We are spending $1 billion every 3 or 4 days in Iraq right now. That is money that we could be spending on so many other important projects in this country that are now going begging because we can't fund them. We can't fund everything at once and then provide massive tax cuts to the richest Americans. Can't do it. Got to pick and choose. So there are going to be jobs programs for the Iraqis. We don't have that here, I don't think, too much. Bush is going to address the nation tomorrow in Iraq, and the Pentagon is preparing to add 4 brigades plus support personnel in the coming months. In the same period, Congress will be considering an emergency bill to pay for continuing overseas military operations, and the restrictions could be added prior to enactment in late March and before the White House has deployed all the added brigades overseas. Bush is sure to claim wide discretion as commander-in-chief under the Constitution. Most Democrats want to avoid what they see as a fruitless and politically damaging fight to deny money for the war. We're not about to cut off funding for troops, said Armed Services Committee Chairman Ike Skelton. But Jack Murtha, chairman of the House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee, believes the November election results show that voters want Congress to be more of a check on Mr. Bush's handling of Iraq. His goal is to build bipartisan support by focusing the debate on whether increasing troop levels would be too much of a strain on the military. Well, I don't know what kind of a debate he thinks he's going to have about this. I think anybody who's been reading anything about the military knows that it's a huge strain on the military. So I don't know even why it is a question. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The perception a lot of Democrats fear is that if we somehow put a crimp in the funding or stop the funding, that Democrats will be perceived as leaving our troops with nothing to hang on to. Do you think that that's really, I mean, it's certainly not an accurate perception, but in politics, perception is reality. I mean, do you think that's really going to be an issue? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. That if we control, using the power of the purse, if it's even possible to do it, some oversight, will Democrats be perceived as being unpatriotic, not supporting our troops, pushing them into harm's way? I think sending 20,000 more troops in puts them all in harm's way. I don't think that's any way to support your troops. Top U.S. military officials expecting Bush to order an increase in the size of the force in Iraq have concluded that such a buildup will require them to reverse Pentagon policy and send the Army's National Guard and reserve units on lengthy second tours to Iraq. This according to defense officials. Under Pentagon policy, Guard and Reserve units have been limited to 24 months of mobilization for the Iraq war. Under that rule, most reserve units already sent to Iraq are ineligible to return. So you've already gone, and now they're going to try to reverse policy because they don't have any bodies to go in there. And they're sending you in again, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If we restrict the power of the purse, if we restrict using the power of the purse, the money that could fund these 20 or 30,000 troops going into Iraq, will we be seen, will Democrats and progressives be seen as not supporting our troops? Susan in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Enid. Nice to hear you, your voice on the radio.
Thank you.
I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
I have a comment on cutting the funds to for the war. Isn't that how we got out of Vietnam? And wasn't it the Republicans who cut the funds off? I thought that's how we stopped the Vietnam War, was Congress cut off all the funds. And then my other comment is that this is something I don't think a lot of people have brought up, but has it ever occurred to anyone that Bush never, ever, nor his administration ever had any intention on leaving the Middle East, that they went there to stay, and that they're going to do everything they can to stay regardless?
Why would they be staying? Because I'll tell you what Joe Biden and a lot of other people think. A lot of people think that by sending 20 or 30,000 troops in, which won't do the job and will only put them in harm's way, it's a way to run out the clock until whoever succeeds Bush is stuck with this mess on his hands and this and all this blood and gore and horribleness.
Well, I think it's a long-term situation, and I think more people need to look at the fact that they never intended to get out of Iraq. They've been building bases over there. They put in a huge amount of money into the embassy. Why would they do that if they intended to, you know, bring democracy and throw Saddam out and you know, pick up and leave? They never intended to, and I think that's what the American people need to understand, is that they're not going to get out of there unless we somehow beat on Congress and Bush to get us out.
Well, I think I think the progressives have certainly been making a lot of noise. They've been stonking through the halls of Congress, MoveOn.org, and other groups, saying, "Look, we got to step on the gas here. There has to be an investigation. There have to be many investigations." And a lot of people are furious that this delusional president wants to send 20 or 30,000 more lives. He wants to put him on the line because of his ego. He wants you to sacrifice your life, but he's not sacrificing his delusions or his ego.
Right, but I don't think it's as simple as that. I think there's more to it than that. I really believe it isn't just Bush. I think there's a lot of people who want us to stay there, and those people happen to be people in power with a lot of say.
And what's the plus? What's the payoff for staying?
I think it's to control the oil and the economy, because I really think that they believe that if something happens over there and we lose control of that oil, our economy will go down the tubes. There's a lot of people that believe that. And that's what's behind all of it.
Well, I think there are a lot of corporations who stand to make and continue to make a tremendous amount of money. There are 100,000. Listen, we've got about 130,000. One figure I saw, 130,000 troops there. We have 100,000 contractors there who are making a ton of money, and we're paying for it. It has no oversight, and the level of corruption has to be astronomical. Susan, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Chris in Carmichael. Hi. You're live with Enid. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks. I just wanted to agree with your last caller. It's always been about the oil. They're never going to let go of that oil. I mean, they know what would happen. The Shiites would control the oil, and they're not going to let go. And I also wanted to say, we need those troops in Afghanistan. The Marine commander just asked for a battalion because they know there's going to be a huge push. How can they let Afghanistan go?
They let it go the minute they took their, you know, there were special ops forces in there making, you know, doing the kind of foundation work, spade work that you really need to do, making contact with the villagers there and people there. And just when it was beginning to come to some fruition, where they were beginning to be trusted, where they were making some inroads, where they were getting gathering information, that's exactly when the administration uprooted them, and sent them all off to Iraq. So all that hard work is sort of wasted in Afghanistan. And look what Afghanistan, the Taliban is now, there's a resurgence of the Taliban. So
this is a tragedy.
That's a terrible tragedy.
Blood on the hands of all of us. And I'm just furious and grief-stricken by it.
Chris, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Alan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alan.
Hey, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and all the other senators that are acting as though they can block the decision by Bush to send more troops, it's just a political scam. They can't do anything. Bush can send those troops regardless of what they say, so they can hold all the hearings they want. But most importantly, we have to finish what we're doing there. If we back out in any way at this point in time, we've lost all of the progress, and we've actually encouraged the enemy.
What progress, Alan, what progress have we made there?
50 million free people, 2 new parliaments elected, free elections, a better...
You have a civil war. We never even restored the electricity. It is, the place is in meltdown. And we have, there's a lot of blood. I mean, I saw one figure that it was 22,000 Iraqis dead, and I've heard as much as six figures of Iraqis dead, and 3,000 on our side dead. And you're telling me this has been a success?
Yeah, Enid, let me tell you this. I would rather die fighting for my freedom than to be pushed into a wood chipper because I disagreed with...
Wait a minute. Alan, how old are you?
I'm 48.
You know what? They'll still take you. Why didn't you sign up to go?
I would have signed up to go if I could have.
Why couldn't you? Had something more important to do?
No, it's just that
you're fighting for freedom. You
got a certain age to sign up in the military.
No, I think they're taking people in their 50s.
My son went.
Well, you're going to let your son go instead of you?
What's that?
You're going to let your son go instead of you?
Enid, believe me, I support the troops and support the war effort. I've had 17 Marines stay at my house. They come to my house every Thanksgiving. I am a full supporter of this effort.
But you never put yourself on the line, Alan. You want to put your son on the line, and it's nice that 17 supporters came to your house for dinner. That's very nice, but you're not in harm's way. They are.
Enid, don't call me a coward compared to you folks.
Well, wait a minute. Compared to me? You're not the one. You're sending your son to do your work. Why don't you go sign up, Alan, if you think this is such a great idea? Well, you got more important things to do than fight for freedom?
I know. Believe me, I fight for freedom.
How do you do that? How do you fight for freedom?
I support it in a big way.
How do you do that? Well, give me an example.
I support the troops.
Wait a minute. How do you support the troops? You put a couple of big flags outside of your window, out of your vehicle?
No, I just told you what I do.
You had 17.
We literally take troops in on Thanksgiving. We send them care packages. We send donations to the war effort.
Wait a minute. So you're having troops in for Thanksgiving. You send a care package once in a while.
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, Enid?
Well, I'm trying to keep people from harm's way. You know, you're pushing them into harm's way, and then you feed them a Thanksgiving meal once in a while, and you send them a care package hoping they're still alive to receive it. And I want to keep them from harm's way, Alan, so that's the difference.
Believe me, if I could be in the infantry, I'd go fight today.
Well, you know, they need 20 to 30,000 more, and they don't know where they're going to get them, and they would take you in a second.
I'm not of age, Enid, sorry.
You are, actually. They're taking them in their 50s, Alan. So you're still eligible, and I thank you for the call. 3-4, what do you think about that? He's supporting the troops. He's having them for Thanksgiving dinner. He's carving them up instead of a turkey. Dylan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dylan.
Hi. I called you up probably 3 months ago telling you about the Scooter Libby trial.
Uh-huh.
I just found out today. I called the law library. I was all like, why didn't it happen on the 8th? It is now scheduled for the 15th, and there's going to be a motion tomorrow in court. It's just a news blackout, and I was really worried about that. I was like, where is the Scooter Libby trial? And I found out on my information from the law library in Sacramento is that it's going to begin on the 15th, and that could be Bush's demise.
Why would it be? Because you think in the process of discovery, and this has to do with the leak of Valerie Plame's identity, and by the way, she's trying to write a book, but the CIA is saying that she's not going to be able to because it will just expose too much classified information. Why do you think this will be Bush's demise?
Well, I think it coincides with all the revelations behind, you know, why the war was started on false premises. You know, it goes to David Wilson, Valerie Plame's husband,
Joseph Wilson.
Joseph Wilson, right? And his whole basically the reason why they retaliated against Valerie Plame by exposing her was because David Wilson was telling them, no, there is not weapons of mass destruction.
Joseph Wilson, who said that there was no, that Iraq was not trying to buy uranium in Africa, in Niger.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So you think that a lot of stuff that's detrimental to the Bush administration is going to come out in the trial?
Well, I hope so. And there's a news blackout, and it really worries me. I just want everybody to expose it.
Okay, and you have done that. Dylan, thank you very much. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ida in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ida.
Hi, this is Ida. And I'm against continuing the war because it really isn't a war. You know, we invaded the place, and Bush has had 3 or 4 years to straighten things up, and he's never done anything right.
But we had our last couple of callers ago, Alan, who says, hey, we got to go in there and finish the job. And, hey, it's a success. He thinks it's successful.
I know, but you know who's supporting this is the neocons that got us into the war in the first place. They don't want for us to leave because they know that it'll be looked at as if he failed. So they want a victory. They want to win.
They're not going to get a win with 20,000 troops. Ida, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, southbound I-5 just south of Lambert. We have a vehicle on the right-hand side stalling and dropping things down there. Westbound 50 just west of Shingle Springs, off of Folsom Road. And it looks like 2520 Eastern Avenue. We have a three-car crash. Otherwise, things are looking pretty good. Southbound 99, a little slow due to a two-car crash, but right there by Broadway. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things and going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Local and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, we like to think we're in the thick of our glory days. We are going to bring you Dickey's speech live tomorrow, where he's going to make a big pitch for why we need 20 to 30,000 more troops in Iraq. And according to the reports we're getting, already it's the training is ending. I think there's some troops in Kuwait who are finishing their training, and they're expected to be shipped out. what can we do about this? 349-1320, and we had one of our callers, Alan, calling in to say, hey, we're doing a great job. He supports the troops, and he supports them by feeding the Marines, and he's sending his son, and he's feeding Marines a Thanksgiving dinner, and he sends care packages. But I think the real support of the troops is to keep them out of harm's way in a failed enterprise, and sending 20 to 30,000 more in is not going to solve the problem. What are your thoughts about that? John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Oh, hi, Enid. I wanted to clear up this hoss-pucky about, they're over there fighting for our freedom. What did the Iraqis ever do to us? I mean, they need to be over here fighting Bush. He's taking our freedoms away.
Oh, he is. He's reading our mail.
Yeah. I mean, listening to our phone calls and, the Iraqis never did anything to us.
Well, you're right. Horse Pucky is exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, these people that say, oh, they're fighting for our freedom. We're free, as much as Bush is going to let us be.
Well, he said we're fighting for their freedom.
Oh, their freedom.
Yeah,
oh,
their freedom. Now they're free. They're killing each other in the streets.
I hear a lot of other people say they're fighting for our freedom, but, that's a lot of bunk,
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well, I agree with you, John, and I thank you. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay, radio got it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, there's Horse Pucky, and there's Horse Pucky, isn't there? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ronnie and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing, Enid?
I'm doing well.
Enid, I know we need more troops in Iraq. We need at least 100 or 200,000. But unfortunately, I think all we have is about 20,000 or 30,000.
We only have about 9,000, according to one report I saw.
9,000.
Nine, yeah. They're going to have to. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to make people do a second tour, even though they're not supposed to.
Exactly. So I believe he wants to do good by the war, but that's all we got, and it's kind of sad.
Well, what did Don Rumsfeld say? You got to fight the war with, this is the war you've got is the war you've got, and you go to war with what you got, I guess. That's what he said. He used to speak in kind of Zen koans. Ronnie, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Preston, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Preston.
Hi, Enid. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Are you guys still snowed under there? You've had three big storms.
We had three big storms, and I guess we're going to get another half a foot this Friday.
You're kidding. We might get a little snow in Sacramento, but probably not much. You know what? A friend of mine, you talk about optimism. This is my friend who lives in Denver, is going to live forever, because if you're optimistic, if you quit smoking, it adds only about 6 months to your life, and if you stop, be right with cholesterol, it'll add about 6 months. But if you're an optimist, it's supposed to add 7 years. And a friend of mine bought a convertible 24 hours before the first storm came in. He says he's not going to be able to drive it till April. So what's on your mind, Preston?
Well, the previous caller mentioned care packages to the troops. And I noticed that a lot of people on the right wing send care packages to the troops. And sadly, I noticed that they're sending a lot of kind of pro-war magazines and books and movies. And I want to suggest to your listeners who are against the war that they send progressive material, stuff that's critical of the war, things like Iraq for Sale. I don't know if you know about that documentary, but it's very powerful, and it's about the contractors there. And there are a couple avenues that they can use to get in touch with the troops. One's called booksforsoldiers.com.
Okay.
And another one is called anysoldier.com. And there are regulations about sending unauthorized political material. And sometimes people get angry by sending progressive material. But
wait a minute. If you send something like Iraq for Sale, would that be considered sort of heresy or unauthorized political material? Or
Yes. But you'll find some soldiers who love that kind of stuff, and they want an honest discussion about what's going on there. They don't just want to get brainwashed by Hannity and his listeners who say everybody's free and enjoying these great elections while their country is being destroyed. They do want a more honest discussion. So my experience has been several times I've sent DVDs of that nature, also another one called Why We Fight, which is about the military-industrial complex, and a couple responses I've got have been very angry. In fact, I eventually got kicked off of one of the sites, but I expected that to happen. But I also have a stack of thank you notes from other soldiers who want a more honest discussion and are not as gung-ho as some of the other
people. So these care package from the right wing consist of gung-ho movies and
Sean Hannity books, Michael Savage garbage.
Oh my God!
That kind of
they ought to include Prozac with this this shipment because you're going to get so depressed. You're going to be so depressed you're going to slit your ankles because you'll be too depressed to reach your wrists.
Right, and some people, if they don't even want to get into the political stuff, you know, a lot of female soldiers just need things like hygiene products and socks and just a note saying, you know, you're in our thoughts, we may be against the war, but we're for you and we're for a different path.
Well, do they still need armor, or are they getting it finally?
You know, I'm very skeptical of some of that. I mean, calling for more armor, that sounds like something that may have been produced by whatever member of the Bush family is making the armor. I mean, armor and more bullets and stuff like that. We already put in $400 billion worth of that stuff each year. If we don't have enough yet, let's start sending something else.
Well, let's start bringing them home. If we can't protect them, let's bring them home.
Right.
And we're not. I don't know what we have accomplished there except to make the situation more chaotic. It's in a meltdown.
That's
what it is by every account.
Yes.
Preston, you always have wonderful ideas. Thank you so much for sharing them.
Thanks for your program.
You're welcome. We really appreciate you. 349-1320, 866-626-13. Preston is really like a guardian angel. He always does the right thing, and he has a great heart. And he was one of my listeners in Denver. So you can see now, you can listen to Enid Live. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be stuck in the snow in Denver, and they're going to have like a fourth. I think they've had three big storms, and it looks like a fourth one is coming in, he says. Oh, my goodness. And we might have just a few flurries. I don't know what we're going to have on Thursday. If it really, they say there might be snow, and if there is, it'll be the first time in about 30 years, they say. Well, we'll see. 349-1320, what can we do to get Dickey to pay attention that we don't, you know, all the approval ratings, the outcome of the election, everything that is an indicator says we do not want to send 20 to 30,000 more troops into Iraq. And the president, what does he care? He's blowing us all off. He doesn't, you know, he wants you to sacrifice your life, but he's not sacrificing his illusions, his delusions, or his ego. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday, Lucky Tuesday, edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we might see some snow, not quite like Denver over there, Preston, but we are going to see maybe about 25% chance for Thursday. 49 is going to be the high tomorrow. 38, we're sitting at 51. Our traffic southbound 99, a little slow moving, but otherwise no incidences there. None on northbound 99, but slow there as well. And it looks like 50 going over top of the mountain, a little slow due to a two-car crash right there by Watt Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does.
if novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dances are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, and the reason it's always a lucky Tuesday is my grandmother was convinced that Tuesdays were lucky. So, hey, why not? You know, optimism adds 7 years to your life, and if you're more optimistic, more good things can happen. If you're more pessimistic, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, don't you think? That's what psychologists are telling us, so it's a lucky Tuesday, and all good things are going to happen today. All good things are going to happen to you today, and particularly if you call Enid Live at 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. We've been talking about the war. We will be carrying the president's pitch speech where he's going to pitch his idea. Apparently it's a foregone conclusion of sending 20 to 30,000 troops. He's going to make it. It's a sales pitch. That's what it's going to be. Tomorrow we're going to take that live at 6 o'clock and we will talk about it afterward. You can hurl a shoe at me. We'll discuss it rather than hurling a shoe at your television set or having a lively conversation with your Labrador retriever. When we're talking about war, I want to reference a couple of things, and one is a particularly interesting story to me. It's about the Cold War, and it's about somebody who was going to be appointed Archbishop of Warsaw who was suddenly unappointed and kind of disappeared. And the reason that he was unappointed is that during the Cold War, he collaborated with the secret police. And not only did he collaborate with the secret police as an informer, but he ratted out his clerical colleagues. Now, at first he said he gave a rather mild version of what he had done, but there are still some records that survive. And he was really a collaborator. Who knows who died as a result of the information he passed on. And he'd been working as a collaborator since his student days. And he taught at one of the universities. And ratted out his colleagues at the university, was an informer, and informed on other clerics. And here, well, the Catholic Church was seen as a real beacon in the Cold War and in communist Poland. And here was somebody who survived probably through a whole tissue of duplicity. You can just imagine these assignations and the spy stories that you could write. The newly appointed Archbishop of Warsaw, Stanislaw Wielgus, I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, abruptly resigned at a mass meant to celebrate his new position after having admitted 2 days earlier that he worked with the Polish communist era secret police. And there are several different stories about what he did, but apparently he spied on fellow clerics. He has maintained that his collaboration with the secret police did not involve spying on anyone and did not hurt anyone. But it turns out that he did admit to deeper involvement after documents from Secret Service, secret police files were published in newspapers that suggested he had informed on fellow clerics for decades, beginning in the late 1960s. So how you can be a man of God, a man of the cloth, and rat out your fellow clerics is a really interesting psychological proposition. And you know, he almost got away with it. It almost happened. And the other war I want to talk about for a moment is World War II. And it turns out, and the reporting is coming out now, that General Motors, of course, owned Opel, which was a German auto manufacturing firm. And apparently the Nazis rode to war on GM wheels. Apparently, during the war, it was made to look like GM didn't have any control, but in fact, GM did have control, and they made money during the war, and they provided the wheels that helped the war to move forward from the German side. And here we are. We were at war with Germany. Isn't that amazing? I don't know why there wasn't a huge outcry. Well, GM is in terrible shape right at the moment. But I had no idea that GM had this kind of a history. General Motors finds the atrocities committed by the Nazi regime abhorrent and among the darkest days of our collective history, a GM spokesman says today. But when it came to making money, they were apparently willing partners with the Nazis. And that was such a partisan time. I'm surprised there wasn't a huge outcry, and I'm surprised there wasn't a post-war outcry. I think maybe it wasn't so well known once the war was over or even during the war. But it comes out now that GM had very close ties with the Nazis. So here you have General Motors. Remember the phrase, as General Motors goes, so goes the country? Well, I hope not, because General Motors has not been in great shape lately. And here you have a Warsaw archbishop who was forced to resign over his collaboration. He was an informer for the dreaded secret police during communist-era Poland. And he ratted out. He informed on his fellow clerics. He informed on his fellow teachers or academics, possibly even students at the university. People probably thought they could trust him because here he was. He was a Polish priest. And the church was the one, you know, shining light during the dark era of the Cold War. Isn't that amazing? A man of the cloth, a man of God, a man of God. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some slow-moving traffic going westbound 50 and Watt Avenue and past the Shingle Springs. That's a three-car crash right there. 2520 Eastern Avenue, there's a two-car crash. Otherwise, the streets of Sacramento look pretty good. No hit runs for 2 hours. That's amazing. Snow likely tomorrow, about 27% chance. Highs 52, lows tomorrow night 39, and we are at 51. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Love Channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Have you heard about...
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
thing about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live and our waning moments together.